K-Rock Festival Flyaway 2016, destination number 4 is Lollapalooza, you guys. Kevin, you've been that festival many times.
Oh, so great.
It's one of the best.
The park is beautiful. There's a lake on one side. There's the whole Chicago skyline on the other side. It's an amazing place.
Did you go to the Bean? Did you get your picture taken in the reflection of the Bean?
No, I did not. I tried to stay away from anything Bean-related.
Radiohead is playing, Foles, the 1975 Jane's Addiction, Bastille, LCD Sound System, and, of course, the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And we are sending you there courtesy of our friends at Warner Brothers. You qualify at 9 o'clock this morning, then again at noon, 3, 6, and 9. Get all the details at KROQ.com.
Yesterday after the show, we were in the office and we were having a conversation with Muggs, and Muggs was telling us about his new diet. New?
It's actually not new. I've been implementing this diet for years now.
Okay. Please.
Hey, Muggs. Not working.
It's not working.
How dare you?
Would
for
you
years,
say?
Hold
you've
on.
Been implementing
hold
me, this. Hold me.
Yes.
Muggs, would you say it's working?
Some days it works.
Some days. Some days. That's what you want with a diet.
A diet. Some days is enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Sorry. So what's the, look here? I'm excited. I don't know what this is, and I'm excited to hear about it because if anyone has a tip on how to lose weight, I feel like that's information that most of us would be eager to hear.
Right. But
okay.
Yes. Muggs.
So my diet that I've been doing for years on and off is the soap diet. It's
the soap.
The soap diet.
Diet. You eat soap?
No, I don't eat soap. But it's when I order large quantities of food or a food item that is really not—it's not part of my diet, but it's on my plate. Mm-hmm. Well, in order for me not to eat that item,
you don't order it.
No.
Okay.
You cut it in half and put the other half in the fridge so you can have it for a different meal later?
No, I make sure that I will not go back to eat it once I throw it away by putting soap on it.
So wait. So you have an extra item, whatever it is.
So let's say
you don't want to eat it.
Right.
Because of the diet.
Right.
Okay. So you take half of whatever that is and you throw it in the trash.
Right.
And it's still not safe.
Right, it's still not safe.
Now, I've gone back in after pizza, which is in a box.
Right.
That's
right.
Okay with me.
Right.
But you're saying, like, straight into the trash?
Yeah.
Like hamburgers and stuff?
Yeah, like, so let's say I order...
not in a box.
Just it's like in a wrapper. I'll crumple it up in a wrapper and throw it in the trash, and that's still safe to me. In my own trash. And, like, and if I know it's in the trash, if there's not anything bacteria ridden, I'll know it's still safe. So...
Now, and your intention when you throw it in the trash, your 100% intention is, I am done with that and I will never fish that out. But just in case you talk yourself into making a bad decision and trying to fish it out, you want to make sure it's inedible.
Yeah, or I'll do more of a preventative action before I throw it out. I'll make sure to put the soap on it. So, yeah, exactly. So I won't go back into the trash and get it. So, for instance, let's say I order 3 double cheeseburgers from McDonald's.
Let me just stop you right there.
Okay.
What if you just ordered 2? And then you don't have to put soap on the
and
third
one.
Because
saving money.
Because I want the 2 extra patties that'll come on the third one.
The 2 extra patties?
Because I want to consolidate. So what I'll do is I'll take the 3 double cheeseburgers and I'll put...
Wait, this diet isn't working?
He's making a Frankenstein hamburger. What could go wrong?
I'll take a patty from that third burger.
Do the patties have to all be from different parts of the cow?
No. I'll take a patty, each patty from the last burger, and I'll put it on the 2 burgers that I already have.
Okay.
Making it a triple cheeseburger.
So then what's left of the third?
So what's left of the third one is just the bread, and the bread is tempting sometimes, and it's not good to eat a lot.
So you throw the bread away, even though you've already had the 2 triple cheeseburgers.
Or, so I'll put soap on that bread, no way I will ever go back to that and put that in my mouth with soap on it.
Here's my question,
Muggs. Yep.
Did you learn this from Miranda on Sex and the City?
No.
She did that with chocolate cake. She threw it out, went back, got it from the trash, didn't want it, and decided, I can't trust myself. So she grabbed dishwashing liquid and poured it all over it. And that
Muggs got his diet.
I think he did.
From Sex and the City.
Never watched Sex and the City,
but I think he did, though.
It's a good technique.
Maybe start calling it the Miranda diet.
It's a good technique.
So, like, the other day, I ordered a chicken piccata from California Pizza Kitchen on point, right?
How many?
Just one.
Okay.
So it comes with the chicken and spaghetti.
Piccata.
The chicken and the piccata. And I had all the chicken, and right. there was half of the serving of spaghetti left.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for me not to eat that half serving left, because I would have felt like a fat pig, which, dare you, Chip.
Seriously.
I poured soap on that spaghetti and put it in the trash, so I know that I'm not going to eat it.
All right, I have to ask again, Mugs, yes. and forgive me,
mm-hmm.
but why not put that in a little Tupperware and put it in the fridge and have it another day? Why ruin? Why waste food?
That.
No, seriously, why waste
no,
food?
I can answer that because he doesn't have the self-control
exactly.
to wait until later.
Exactly.
So you can't split it up between lunch and dinner. If it's in your fridge, you're going to eat it immediately after you finish
If it's in
half.
His neighborhood, not just okay. his house, but anywhere in his neighborhood.
Kevin is precisely
have
correct.
Have you thrown your food in the outside trash before?
Yes. But
still tempting.
No. Because that is just...
You don't soap that up?
No, if I throw it in the outside trash, I'm pretty good on not going in. It's only the inside
pretty
trash.
Pretty good on not going
pretty
in.
Pretty good on not going in.
So occasionally you will dumpster dive outside
no,
to get a bun of a burger that you already took the burger off of.
In the outside trash, unless if that bun was wrapped in the wrapper in the original bag, not touching anything, then I'd probably
then
be
it's,
tempted.
Then it's safe.
But,
it's good.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
we're almost out of time, but I have two quick questions
you should
for
fill up your trash with soap, and then automatically by throwing stuff away, it gets soaped.
That's a good idea.
Two quick questions.
Yeah.
You've struggled with your weight. God bless you. You've been working really hard. You do try. But
he
why
doesn't
you,
work hard, and he doesn't try, Bean.
His intention is there, though.
Yes.
Why are you ordering chicken piccata
mm-hmm.
and triple cheeseburgers? Why is that your base meal?
Well, the chicken piccata is not bad. It's the spaghetti that's the carbs.
Well,
you know?
Yeah.
The cheeseburgers, yeah. I mean, I have a soft spot for fast food.
You have a lot of soft spots.
Oh, Kevin.
There you go.
No.
And, you know... I like spaghetti, but...
You can't lie. All right. But the second question is...
Dexter makes a lot of reference?
That's what he did.
Wow.
Oh,
second question is, so how does the soap taste?
That was my final question. My final question was, have you ever...
No. I mean, who likes eating soap?
Mugs.
Have you ever just once though?
You don't
no.
eat the soap. You
Mugs.
Scratch the
Look,
soap off.
No,
maybe the top
no,
layer
no.
of the bread.
That's sad. Look, I already
oh,
have.
That's
oh,
sad.
That's where
yeah.
it gets sad.
I already have.
You might like it.
No. I already have self-control issues enough as it is.
Right.
If I ate the soap, I mean that would be pointless. I might as well take poop and wipe it on the food.
What just happened?
That's
we
a
just,
turn.
Just made it.
Yeah. Poop
made
burger, a... poop burger,
poop burger, poop burger.
I don't like. Hey, I know Allie is here with the Showbiz Beat In for Ralph Garman here on K-Rock, but I do have to give this update because listeners did the research. Muggs was saying there's nothing wrong with the chicken piccata. That's not the problem. I understand that the pasta is where my problem is. Here are the facts on the California Pizza Kitchen chicken piccata.
By the way, just before you say this, everything that comes out of his mouth can be fact-checked.
Of course.
And will be wrong.
Of course. 78 grams of fat in the chicken piccata, 375 milligrams of cholesterol, 1,628 calories.
In wow. one chicken
in
piccata.
Serving of chicken piccata from CPK, yes.
But
so there you go, Mugs.
But he only has four at a time.
Right, exactly.
So
keep doing what
you're
doing.
So you get up, you go to work, you work at a Wendy's, and you probably don't anticipate being bitten by a customer.
I don't think any of us expect to wake up and get bitten by somebody.
But it does happen occasionally. I don't know how angry you can possibly be that your order was wrong. Some people...
Is that why he bit the lady?
She, I think.
Oh,
a woman bit another woman because the order was wrong.
Yeah.
A Richmond woman bit off more than she could chew.
By the way, this...
Oh, geez.
He does that through the whole story.
Nice.
I want to punch him right in the face.
After confronting a manager here at this Wendy's behind me at Brook Road and Azalea Avenue in Henrico County, that manager tells me she had no other option
but to
defend herself.
Before we even get to the Wendy's victim here, mm-hmm. is this guy being forced at gunpoint to do this news report? Has anyone ever sounded less like he wants to be on television than this reporter?
I'm here at the Wendy's. The woman got beat.
You've heard the expression hangry, a combination of hungry and angry.
I think he's, I don't know. I don't know if he's bored or if he's really excited to be able to work in all these puns.
I think he thought, I'm going to be on TV and I'm going to win a Pulitzer for bringing down government corruption. And now he's at a Wendy's in Alabama or someplace talking to a woman who done got bit.
She matched me in size, but she had a lot of heart.
because she came for me. She swung.
Wendy's worker LaTanya Nelson says this woman, 25-year-old Lovely Robinson.
I was like, you know, you can't be in here. You got to go.
Wait.
So Lovely.
Lovely ordered food.
Oh, my God. A woman named Lovely is arrested for biting someone.
Yes. Lovely was just the opposite of that.
Would fit the script for angriest customer she's ever personally served.
Cursing at me. And she said, I'll come across the counter. I was back there. I said, okay. And she came back there. And she tried to come for me. But I defended myself.
Throwing haymakers where they cook hot fries.
No. Hey, everybody. Yeah. Throwing haymakers. Wow.
Now, what makes him believe that she threw haymakers? Don't you think it was, look, I'm not casting any dispersions on girl fights, but don't you think it was probably not a haymaker?
I think if somebody comes over the counter at me, I'm throwing a haymaker.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you come for me, it better be a haymaker.
What was wrong with Lovely's order? Do we find out what the problem was?
We do.
Nelson says she couldn't believe the appetite for destruction.
Hey, the appetite for destruction. Oh, huh?
Got the groceries, am I right?
Appetite for destruction. Listen to B laugh. I hate this guy. For the reason that you love him.
All right, let's continue.
She clamped down on, like, right above my kneecap.
Now, she's talking about the
That's
mouth.
Where she bit?
The mouth of the girl was biting right above her kneecap in her leg.
Yeah, like, I continued to punch her because she was biting me.
Leaving a biggie-sized bite mark above...
Hey! Size at Wendy's called
it's a biggie size.
Leaving a biggie size bite mark above Nelson's left knee. Nelson says she was able to fight Robinson off. Henrico police charged the Richmond woman.
Now, I have not heard of some of these charges, but it is funny to me that the woman bit her knee and then she continued to hit her and the woman, like a pit bull, wouldn't let go.
Oh, man.
What
She's
the
not
hell?
Lovely. She's not lovely.
She's exactly.
With malicious wounding, intentionally damaging property, preventing law enforcement from making an arrest, and trespassing. That's the charge Nelson says kicked the violence off, claiming Robinson stormed in the lobby behind another employee after changing her order of two spicy chicken sandwiches.
She switched the order to four of the 99-cent chicken sandwiches. Like, so I guess she didn't have $11. She only had four.
Okay. That's it.
That's it.
That's why.
So
why
hold on a second.
She launched herself over the counter and bit the woman in the knee.
I'm trying to track.
Lovely
this now.
Changed so her order. Bean.
She changed her order. So did she not get what the second order was? Did they not hand
she
her the food that she ordered
the second
time?
Given her the two spicy chickens instead of the
and expected $11. Yeah. The woman said, "No, I changed my order. I only have $4."
I see. Oh, I understand now.
So
okay.
It's on.
Yeah.
At that point,
it is on.
Yeah.
It's haymakers.
Well, I can't blame her at this point. It's appetite for destruction. It's biggie wounds.
Hey, boys and girls. Happy
Hi.
Monday.
Woo!
Woo! You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's me, Ralph Garman, back again to do the show Biz Beat. Allie, thanks for stepping in and filling in while I was gone.
You're welcome.
It. Heard nothing but great things about all you did.
Well, they lied. But thank you.
Yeah. Heard the show was spectacular while I was out. And
Kevin was super Kevin-y.
There's been rumors about a new moment with Kevin that I'm supposed to hear.
Oh, yeah.
Is that true, Chip?
It is so good. Here you go.
Can you give me a little taste?
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
$50 million.
Add a zero to that.
$150 million?
That would be 500. Add a zero to the 50. Good freaking Lord.
Wait, hold on. What just happened? $500.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Add a zero to 50 and
150. That's math, Allie.
Oh, super sweet.
That's simple. That's Singapore math.
It hurt. Yeah. It hurt.
Yeah.
Sweet spirit.
I would hear rumors and stories about what was happening while I was gone. And then people say, when are you coming back? When are you coming back? And I would say, why would you go back to a home after it's burned to the ground already?
Right.
Why would you move back into a house after it's infested with termites? Why would you go back to a place that is just apparently off the rails?
About how many tweets did you get about Bean talking to a parrot?
Many, many. And I don't even want to know the story.
Oh, you don't?
I just...
It's not good.
While I'm away, when awful things happen, people want to inform me, and I say, I'm away. I'm away from it. I don't have to be a part of it.
It's like people tattle because they need help mostly.
I guess.
And they want to feel like you understand.
Share their misery.
Their misery.
No one knows their misery better than I do.
Right,
trust me.
Right.
But the good news is Kevin and Bean are enjoying a little vacation time, so I will be in here along with Allie and Chip bringing you the latest in showbiz news. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy for a Monday morning as we talk about, as we do each and every Monday morning on the Showbiz Beat, the top 10 movies at the box office. Finding Dory debuted, did pretty well for itself, did okay out of the gate in its first weekend with $137 million.
What?
How many people could care about where a fish is? How many?
A lot.
Yeah. It's a smash hit.
Are you going to see it?
At some point, I'm assuming. Although my little daughter Olivia was way freaked out by Finding Nemo. Did not really enjoy that film. Scared
really?
Her. She did not like a kid being lost. Was not her cup of tea. So we never got through the first film. I don't know. She'll probably care less if Ellen DeGeneres is lost, I'm guessing.
Right.
Because
like, screw Dory.
We'd all like Ellen DeGeneres to get a little lost, wouldn't we? I'm just saying. I know.
No.
I'm tired of her dancing.
Come on.
Does the fish dance in this? Is there a dancing fish? I'm not sure, but I'm sure I'll find out. Central Intelligence was second at the box office with $34.5 million. Conjuring 2, third. Now You See Me 2, fourth. Warcraft at number 5. Then X-Men Apocalypse and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows at 6 and 7. Me Before You, Alice Through the Looking Glass, and Captain America's Civil War coming in at number 10. The box office this weekend. Tragic story yesterday, as many heard, the passing of Anton Yelchin. Just 27 years old, a super talented guy. Of course, probably best known for playing Chekhov in the rebooted Star Trek films, but also, Terminator Salvation. He played the young Kyle Reese in that. Alpha Dog, the Fright Night reboot with Colin Farrell. Pretty much became a star with the teenage comedy Charlie Bartlett, and he was amazing in that film. He was found at his home here in Los Angeles around 1 a.m. on Sunday morning in what appears to be a freak accident. He was pinned between his own car and a brick mailbox that was connected to a security gate at his home. The car was found still running with the engine in neutral, and the car had been at the bottom of a steep incline. So authorities are assuming that he had his car in what he thought was parked, got out to check his mailbox or to open the gate, and the car rolled down the steep incline and pinned him against his mailbox. So
he was, in
essence, run over by his own car. Tragic news, just 27 years old. Just, boy, what a year this has been, just on every level. Death just blows. Leave us alone for a minute, won't you? So the passing of a really talented and, by all accounts, just super nice guy. And, of course, there's a new Star Trek film, Star Trek Beyond, coming out in theaters next month. So the entire cast of that franchise took to social media yesterday to express their shock and sadness. So just a really sad story, but that's what happens.
Do you have anything good?
Let me see. Let me see if I got something good. Yeah, I do have something good.
Okay.
How about a birth? Births are good, right?
Do you need more kids?
Oh, that's true. That's not so good. But it's Eddie Redmayne. You know Eddie Redmayne, the British actor?
He can have more kids because he'll be ginger.
He's very talented, charming, and his wife, Hannah, just is adorable. You've seen them on the red carpets together. They're just a lovely, lovely couple. Married in December of 2014. They announced the arrival of a baby girl over the weekend. Iris Mary Redmayne is her name.
Aww.
See, that's how you do it. That's how you name a kid. Iris.
Classic.
There aren't enough Irises in the world.
Agreed.
And the reason Iris is a great name, Allie, you know, of course, because...
Sure.
Name of the Flash's girlfriend.
Right? Right?
You knew that.
And then reverse Flash's girlfriend is Siri. Right?
No.
Open up
a blog. And while we're talking comic booky things, Comic-Con fans, get ready for the big annual event in San Diego next month. Very exciting. We haven't heard yet whether we're going to be down there or not, but we're going to try to be down there broadcasting from San Diego Comic-Con, as we do almost every year. We didn't last year.
Yeah.
Because we ain't got no money. But maybe we
should open the phones up to some sponsors?
Maybe we should.
Do a telethon?
Do a telethon while they're...
A bake sale, something, so we can actually go down so we can drive 90 minutes and then broadcast.
Mugs will do a jogging in place-a-thon.
I love it.
These are all great ideas.
I wonder how Mugg's first Father's Day was. Yesterday. We should talk to him about that at some point. Anyway, if you're a fan of Comic-Con like I am, you'll be happy to know that there's going to be a new nightly telecast from Sci-Fi Network covering the San Diego Comic-Con this year. Will Arnett will be the host. Mm. He's charming and lovely.
Yeah, he is.
It's going to be happening at an outdoor stage at the event scheduled from July 21st through the 23rd. He'll be reporting on breaking news from Comic-Con, as well as providing sneak peeks of the most anticipated films and TV series with special guests and discussions with some of the participants. So, good things if you're a geek this year on Sci-Fi with Will Arnett. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Christopher Mintz-Plasse is 27 years old today. Robert Rodriguez, very talented film director, turns 47. Nicole Kidman is 49. Her forehead is 2.
Doesn't move, though.
Does not move. Mm-mm. It's a brand new forehead she's got. John Goodman, 64. Lionel Richie.
That's one for Burtonsville, for Lionel Richie, and he gets more Richie every time we play one of his songs.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, Bean said that out loud into a microphone at one point in his career. He's 67 years old. Singer Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys.
Oh,
Brian Wilson. Happy birthday, Brian Wilson. I hope you have a good, surfing birthday.
He is 74 years old. And Chino from Deftones.
And the man.
No, Chino Moreno, singer for Deftones, 43 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I got to be completely honest with you. I thought Barry Bonds was retired and out of baseball. He is not. He is a hitting coach for the Florida Marlins right now.
Oh, maybe imagine a guy that big a dick being a coach.
I know. And, of course, he's, if I remember correctly, the greatest home run hitter of all time. So he does know a little something about swinging a bat. I guess they're called the Miami Marlins now. They changed it a couple years ago. So he is playing against – his team's playing against the Dodgers the other day. And Jock Peterson, center fielder for L.A., is a huge Barry Bonds fan. So he wanted to get a photo with him. And he told the story with Jay and Dan on Fox Sports 1. Listen to what happened.
You're a massive Barry Bonds fan, correct?
Yeah, I was. You know, I went up to him and said, hey, man, you're my favorite player. Can we get a picture? And I don't know. He kind of just turned his back on me and looked, and I don't know. He big leagued
Whoa!
Bad.
Yeah.
Not he cool, didn't Barry take the Bonds.
Picture? No. Yeah, and I kind of stood there awkwardly for a little bit, and then I was kind of like, all right, well, frick.
That's like childhood.
Yeah, it
crushed.
Yeah, trust me. It.
So before
I was flustered. I don't know how moment. I played that day because I was a mental head case.
You build this guy up in your mind.
Yeah, and like I told my dad, like, oh, like we're playing them. Like I'm excited. Like Barry's there, and he kind of just said,
"That's too bad."
Hey, Barry, yeah. Not cool.
Not cool anymore.
Not
By the
cool.
way,
not cool,
Barry Bonds, after the fact, apologized and said it was a misunderstanding. He didn't realize that he had dissed Jock Peterson.
Not cool.
Not cool indeed. So Jock Peterson got dissed by his hero, and that's the topic. You were so excited to meet someone, and they big lead you. And I'm glad Omar is here because Omar has one of our favorite stories about this happening to him.
Yeah, Tim Allen big leagued me. I was a huge Tim Allen fan.
What?
By the way,
yeah,
huge.
What?
By the way,
and Omar took a lot of crap from us.
Absolutely.
We would harass him. We would go, really, Tim Allen? Really?
I loved Home Improvement. Loved Home Improvement.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't get enough.
And then
Tim Allen came out with the Santa Claus movies.
Sure.
And through the station, we were lucky enough to get some premiere tickets to, I think it was a Santa Claus 2. So I take my little nephew, and we go, and we got into the after party. And Tim's there, and my little nephew's super excited to meet, you know, the Santa Claus. So I was like, all right. Normally, I don't bug people.
Right.
But I was like, my nephew wants to take a pic.
Plus, you love him.
Yeah, I love Tim Allen. Yeah. So it gave me an excuse to go up to him, right? So I go over there. I'm like, hey, you know, Mr. Allen, wouldn't you mind, you know, taking a picture? And he's all like, what? Like, what? I'm like, you know, take a picture. And he's all, oh, fine. Just like that, fine.
Oh.
And then, you know, I can't react, you know, how I would react because my nephew's there.
Right.
Told your nephew?
At that time, he was probably like
six or seven. Okay.
Yeah, 6 or 7. So we take the picture, and I got to find this picture. Maybe I'll post it on my Twitter later. And he has he's like has the most pissed off look, and he takes this. We snap this picture, and then we go on our way. But he was just a total dick at his premiere.
Wow! And
right?
To your nephew,
yeah,
your nephew thinks he's Santa Claus.
Yeah,
yeah. You would think just
Santa's a dick.
Just for the little kid, you right. would think you would be
all right. So yeah, who was your hero that crushed you?
You know, we had one that happened in the studio here. With our former sports guy, Matt Money Smith,
oh.
from Petra's Money Radio Show. Remember this?
Oh, this was so good.
Lifelong Chicago sports fan, in particular the Bears, his all-time favorite sports franchise. And one time on the show, Coach Ditka was on talking about something, and Money just wanted to have that moment with the coach near the end of the call.
And he never asked for this, but he's like, just, you know, maybe I could just say hi to him and sort of just thank him for all he's done.
Money, you want to say goodbye to him?
Thank you so much for everything, Coach. I really appreciate it. You've given me a wonderful life.
He's gone.
Darn it.
He hung up.
That's so funny.
He didn't hang up on me. He hung up on you guys. You ruined my moment.
Hey, he got his plug in.
I really wanted you to have that moment with him.
Which makes it even better.
He's a better guy than we thought. Let's start with Scott. He's in Long Beach. He's on line 7 to get us going.
Hey, so yeah, I was working at John Wayne Airport as a skycap one time, and Adam Sandler comes through. This is about like the height of his career. Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore just come out, you know?
Right.
And I said, hey, you're Adam Sandler. And he's like, hey, you're not, and just walks away.
That's kind of funny, though.
I'm team Adam Sandler on this story.
I got to be honest. I think that's the good move right there.
Sorry, Scott. You get no sympathy here, but thank you for the call. Let's try line 3, please. Go down to OC and talk to our friend Anthony.
Hey, so yeah, this was when I was a kid, 8 years old. It was at the height of Knight Rider and Mr. David Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
My mom was invited to his wedding, his manager's wedding, so she brought me. I was excited because, again, Knight Rider was the best thing ever.
Sure.
She goes to introduce me, and he says, not now. But he gladly took a picture with my mom and then walked away.
Is your mom hot?
So we went, what? No.
Did your mom end up in the hot tub with Mr. Hasselhoff later?
No, he was there with his wife and everything, but that brought up a bunch of issues because there's actually a picture of me kind of hiding in the background after he shunned me away.
Not so much for you, little Anthony. You stand over there. I'm going to take a picture with your hot mom.
I think Allie figured that one out in a hurry. All right, Anthony, great call. Thank you, sir. Let's go to line 2, La Puente. I think EJ has a similar story about when he was a little kid and met a star.
Yeah, I was a huge Hulk fan when I was a kid, you know, like old school Incredible Hulk, Lou Ferrigno. And my mom, she took me to the LA County Fair where he would be. He was doing a signing. So she bought me this inflatable Hulk, and we waited in line. And when it's time to go see him, she's like, can we take a picture and can you sign this? He goes, $60 picture and autograph. And my mom, she's like, she froze. It's like, oh, are you serious? You're charging for autographs? And he like literally sent us away without anything.
I got to tell you, I know that a lot of reason those people do those convention type things is because they get paid for autographs. But doesn't $60 seem like a lot for Lou Ferrigno?
Yes, it does.
For a little chubby kid.
Oh, I didn't know you were chubby. That makes a difference.
He did the right thing then.
Thanks, EJ. Couple more. Let's go to Montebello and Micah, line 4, next on the Kevin Bean Show.
When I was a young kid, Nolan Ryan was retiring from baseball at Angel Stadium, and I ran up to get his autograph. No other kids were around, by the way. And as I was walking with him into Angel Stadium, he put his arm around me, and he said, if I stop and sign yours, I got to stop and sign them all, and walked into Angel Stadium.
I think he might have been right.
Absolutely. You got a hug from Nolan Ryan.
Yeah.
On his last game.
I'll take the hug, but like...
But Micah said there was no one else around.
I'm still rolling against Micah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm team Nolan Ryan on this
Micah,
one.
Were you chubby?
No, I was a skinny, scrawny
It was
kid,
a joke.
You know?
It was just a joke. We didn't really care about your weight. Okay.
All right. I think we have to talk to Jerry at El Segundo. We have to make this right, don't we?
Hey, guys.
All right. What happened?
All right. So it was interesting. This happened back in the 80s, or actually early 90s. Okay. And there were these pair of local radio talent that ended up getting an engagement at E! Entertainment Television. And I just happened to have been the IT director at the time. And during a hiatus between takes, I tried to approach these two gentlemen and told them how much of a fan I was and pretty much got ignored.
Oh, Mark and Brian were dicks.
Right? They were dicks.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing.
God, they're not on anymore. They were so mean to their fans. Why could they have been nice like we always were every
right?
time, always? All right, thank you for calling that to our attention, man. But
we don't have any more time.
You get the last laugh because they're off the air and they're bad people. Alex Jones is back, you guys. He's the talk show host. He's got an internet channel called InfoWars. He's big into he's a 9/11 truther. He's into chemtrails. He's into the Illuminati. He's that guy.
And all conspiracy all the time.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And he also has been really laying down the law lately on who's good and who's bad. Who's for God, who's for Satan. He's the one who determines that. Here's a little bit of his most recent rant.
I'm going to be honest with everybody. My gut, my spirit, the last few months, I've told you this, but intensifying. Evil's being let out of the pit right now. I can feel it rising. And I can also feel good rising. The spirit of God coming back in the world as well. We are in very dangerous waters. And people like Donald Trump
okay.
are only one manifestation of what's going on. He's obviously a guy, an alpha male that likes prosperity, loves this country. I think he's got a lot of worldly issues and problems, don't we all? The people that got a lot of good also have a lot of bad. Our enemies are the people that don't have hardly any good, but have a bunch of bad.
All right. Is everyone tracking?
Okay. I need the breakdown. What's the ratio of good to bad? So we're on the same page.
So I think what Mr. Jones is telling us, I believe he is a yes on Donald Trump. Yeah, he's not perfect, but his heart's in the right place, and he's trying to do good for America. But he's about to drop the bomb on somebody who he thinks is the opposite, which is fellow conservative talk show host Glenn Beck, who has thrown his lot in with Ted Cruz. So Trump good. I think we'll find out Beck bad.
And I don't enjoy getting up here and attacking people like Glenn Beck. Let's get that straight.
Right.
But when I see manifest smoking evil, the guy's on fire with sniveling evil. So at a spiritual level, I can see him, and I can see all of his fruits, and it's just a prancing demon, a Nelly feminine con artist preying on people, and it makes me want to throw up. Okay. And I'll just be honest with you.
Okay, you're just being honest with us. All right, so we wanted to get some clarification on who we should be rooting for and who we should be again. And I think Alex Jones is on the phone with us right now from InfoWars.com. Hey, Alex.
I'm surprised you're even having me on.
Well, we just like
we have questions.
Because you don't want to have the truth out there. You want to keep it to yourself, and you don't want people to recognize what's happening in their own lives and their own situations, and they're going to make a move. And when that move happens, all the flaming demons, all the smoking, dancing, prancing Nellies will be put away, and then everybody will be inside the envelope, won't they?
Okay, I don't know what that means.
The envelope is that you're referring to. But
let's go back to this later. Donald Trump, is he Christian enough and conservative enough for you, Alex?
Of course he is. The man who obviously loves God, he loves his country.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, does he have problems? Of course, everybody does. But what happens is he wants to make America great again. And
he
there's
does.
So many people trying to bring this great country down that if we don't have an alpha male in that situation, a leader of the pack, a leader of the pride, the man who will take us to the Serengeti and help us hunt the gazelle that nobody eats.
Wait, he's taking us to Africa?
Serengeti?
Serengeti, of course, is, I'm talking about the spiritual plane, not the plains of Africa, but
sorry.
The plains of the soul. And if you don't get out there, and if you don't fight the good fight, then the next thing you know, the whole water hole dries up, and then what do you have? A muddy mouth.
Well, no one wants a muddy mouth.
You're damn right they don't.
So Glenn Beck is literally on fire,
He's the worst. He is off. You know his transmission that he does with his when he's on the air? The transmission actually causes sterility. It will destroy your essence. That is the truth. If you take what he does, put the speaker up to a glass of water. You'll watch that water become deionized. You want ions in your water or not? You need ions, my friend.
Is that good?
How often do you get to solar neutralization?
Wait, you want ions?
Of course you want your ions.
What are they good for?
Well, you take them away and you'll see what they're bad for.
Okay.
Good point.
Okay. All right, so I will become sterile if I watch Glenn Beck on TV.
Absolutely, because that signal will do nothing but disintegrate into nitrogen powder, which, of course, will it take over every cell in your body. And then the next thing you know, what you become? A dancing, smoking demon. And if you want to be that, that's on you, but I choose not to, my friend.
All right, but Alex Jones, just humor me here. So he backs a different presidential candidate in the same party than you do. Why does that make him Satan?
Because I am trying to save this country of ours. I don't care about politics. I don't care about who wins an election. I care about saving the country. For example, where are the huckleberries?
Where are the huckleberries?
You mean the fruit, the huckleberry?
Absolutely, the fruit. Do you see them in the stores? Do you see huckleberry muffins? Do you see huckleberry candies? Do you see huckleberry croutons? No, you don't.
Why don't we?
Why don't we? Because those are the fruits that once made this country great. And there's no huckleberries. There's no huckleberry hound. You don't even see the cartoon anymore. Huckleberry Finn, who's reading that book? Donald Trump will once again bring us back to huckleberries.
I wasn't aware.
Wow, I didn't know that was...
That was a board in his campaign. That's fantastic. Okay, all right. Our next guest has been kind enough to join us almost every single season since Survivor first premiered back in the 1950s, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome back to the program Emmy Award winner, Jeff Probst. Hey, Jeff.
What's up? Finally, I'm back in the studio.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. I know.
Well, usually we talk to you on the phone and you're in Russia or someplace.
Yeah.
I mean, you're all over the place, dude. It's tough to nail you down.
I do like hearing what you said because you're right. I think this is the most consistent show I've done. I've done this show more consistently, whatever the phrase I'm looking for.
How many seasons has it been on?
Well, it's been on 32 seasons, which is 16 years.
16
and Ralph
years.
And I were just talking about when you guys did your show back in season 2.
Mm-hmm. We broadcast from CBS on the morning after the premiere, right? Or
yeah.
the finale.
I think it was the morning of the finale, I think.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think we were promoting the finale that night, and Colby came by. We knew he was going to be
oh,
in.
That's
it,
right.
Jeff stopped by. But we were talking about how white hot that show. I mean, it's still a great show, and it's still a hit. But the phenomenon that it was at the time was ridiculous.
Yeah, and we were talking just before we walked in here. I had no idea. I had no perspective. So,
you mean in season 2 when it was that big, you were like...
Well, yeah, that seems
whatever.
Like a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's cool. I guess we're number one. And, you know, I didn't – now if that happened, my mind would be blown by that kind of popularity. But I was this guy that was new to the business and thought, it sounds great. Hopefully get another season.
What were the all-time peak in terms of viewership on an episode? It had to be in the 30 millions, right?
Well, the all-time peak would have been the season 1 finale when it was 72 million.
Like,
it was phenomenal.
72 million? Are you kidding me?
And then we premiered, I know that second season premiered after the Super Bowl, and I remember it was like 45 million for the premiere.
Were you disappointed?
And we've been, that's what I was going to say. We've been going steadily down since then.
How did you get the job to be the host of Survivor?
I had moved to LA from New York, and I had that sort of gut feeling of I want something really smart. And that I can use my storytelling skills. Otherwise, I just don't want to do it. I don't want to read prompter on a dating show. And I really did feel like I have other things I want to do. If I can't find something cool, then I'll do something else. And I waited for a year and a half, and I did say no to a lot of jobs.
You had hosted some other shows before
I had.
That, right?
I'd hosted Rock and Roll Jeopardy,
I'm sure,
which
yeah.
was super fun.
Awesome.
And I'd worked at FX back when FX was a live network.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was watching. This was before the show.
I remember you doing collectibles and stuff. You used to do a lot of stuff where you would visit people's collections based on some of the shows that FX was running.
Yeah.
It was just Ralph in the basement.
It was. There were not many people watching.
I was there.
Okay, but to your point, I hear you about smart and whatever and entertaining or whatever, but that is honestly how I felt. And I did keep saying no to shows. And I was on the freeway listening to Mark being interviewed. I didn't know who he was.
Mark Burnett, the creator, right.
He said, I have this idea. I'm going to drop 16 people on an island, force them to work together to survive, but then also force them to vote each other out. And in the end, one will win. And I just went for it. I went for it as hard as I've gone for anything. I met with him and we had a long interview that he talked the entire time. And when it was over, he said, well, what do you have to say for yourself? And I'd had all these anecdotes I was ready to share and camping trips. And I remember when I caught this fish, all of it, you know, baloney. And I had like 30 seconds and I said, listen, I'm a student of the human condition. I'm a writer. I've been in therapy. I get this show. And he said, well, very nice to meet you. I was like, really?
You blew it.
I blew it. Yeah, and then and it's a long story.
Did you say, hey, I'd like to come back sometime when I could talk?
Yeah, so I to try to condense it, I went for it hard. I wrote messages in a bottle that I sent to CBS that predicted how successful Survivor would be, and all of it due to the likable but unknown host, Jeff Probst. And then when it came down to the day, it was me and Phil Kogan, who hosts The Amazing Race.
Who's also great.
Wow.
Who's also
heck.
Awesome.
You're both,
I mean, what?
You're both great hosts.
I'm kidding. He's great.
And you beat him out.
Well, what happened was Phil and I had worked together in New York at FX. So our first jobs had been together. We walk into the room, and as Mark told us later, when it ended.
You had to fight to the death?
Nope. It was a challenge. Moonves said, look, Tamark, whoever you want, I have a job for the other one.
And have you enjoyed every season of it, or have there been times where you look at the calendar and you go, oh, my God, I got to go to goddamn Cambodia again. I wish I could get out of this contract.
Is it
something that you're still excited like every time you fly to the new place?
Okay, well, that was two different questions, fortunately. The first one, yes, there was a period where it was hard to leave, and we didn't have the kind of communication we have now, and I did feel like I was missing my life. And I was probably just a punk who somebody needed to kick in the ass and say, listen, you should be super grateful for this show every single day. That's how I feel now. I did weather a little storm for about a year. But, yeah, I love it. And I got to say, it is – honestly, it's a blast. It's we're in our 32nd. We're leaving to go shoot seasons 33 and 34. We have almost the same team we've had from the beginning. You know, 80% of our team is the same. It is so much fun to go out and be on a beach and watch these people behave. And I still can't believe we're going into our 17th year. I still can't believe it's my job.
Well, I was saying in the other room, to your credit, to everyone involved, the show. Although, you know, obviously anything this famous and this white hot eventually will dim. It's still a huge hit, but creatively, it's still as entertaining and involving and as fascinating to watch as it ever was. And it's amazing how fresh you guys have kept it and the new challenges that you come up with and the people that you find. It's relentlessly entertaining.
Well, that is the best compliment we get. That is it, is because we try to tweak the show just enough. You guys know what it is. I mean, your show's been on forever.
Yeah,
you
but
can't
we haven't tweaked. That's just the
we do the same damn show every day. Much easier. Much easier when you just give
but
up.
But those little tweaks are, I think, what you just said. You want the same thing, only different.
Right.
And our casting director, Lynn Spillman, man, she has upped her game
this
in the last few
so
years.
This season is so good of the cast.
Well, this was so much fun, Jeff. We're always we always love having you on. Even when you're only able to call in, we always look forward to that time. But this is so much fun having you in the
Thanks
studio.
For
really
supporting Survivor
it.
For our entire run.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You guys do great work. Let's hear it for Jeff Probst, you guys.
Good morning, boys and girls. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Woo! The boys are taking a little time off. However, we are bringing you the latest in entertainment news with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Allie. How are you?
Good morning, Ralph. How was your vacation?
It was lovely. It was half work, half vacation. I got a chance to go to Boston and do Hollywood Babylon with my buddy Kevin Smith. And then we went on to Philadelphia. And then I stayed in Philly for a while just to see some people and to eat some cheesesteaks and to drink all the beer.
All the beer.
All the beer. And it was a great time.
I saw a post from a bar called Ralph's Basement.
Rotten Ralph's.
Rotten Ralph's, sorry.
Which is a multi-level eating and drinking establishment. It says it right there on the sign.
Excellent.
Yeah, so I hit all the levels.
You did.
Yes.
Nice.
I was able to unlock all the drinking levels of that particular game. So we had a good time. It's nice to get in here early in the morning because this way when you wake up here in Southern California, it's only 90. When you hit the road when the sun isn't up yet. So that felt good this morning.
Already over summer. I hate it so much.
It's insane.
I hate it.
Speaking of insane, congratulations to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Last night's game was insane. Right down to the wire. And LeBron.
Wow.
He did it. He got it done. First team ever, right, in the history of the finals
to
come back after
3-1. Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, he was otherworldly this series for sure.
If basketball was like this every game, I'd watch it all the time.
That's why I only kind of tune in when the playoffs come around, because that's when it gets really exciting and drama-packed, and it certainly was. And speaking of drama, I'm still waiting for Steph Curry's wife to tweet. I want to see what her reaction is, but Aisha didn't do anything magical last night. I was expecting her to say that, you know, NBA's part of ISIS or LeBron's a warlock or something fun, but she didn't. She disappointed.
I'm sorry about that.
It's Monday morning, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Finding Dory, in its debut, made a paltry $137 million this weekend.
Wow.
See, the thing is, when it's hot and you have kids, the only thing really you can do for 2 hours to keep them quiet is take them to a movie. And everyone did that this weekend. They take Finding Dory to number one at the top 10 movies. Central Intelligence with Kevin Hart and Dwayne Johnson. Their comedy was not the blockbuster Finding Dory was, but still made about $35 million in its opening weekend. Pretty strong. Conjuring 2, Now You See Me 2, and Warcraft were the top five movies at the box office. X-Men, Apocalypse, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Me Before You, Alice Through the Looking Glass at number 9, and then Captain America Civil War rounded out the best at the box office this weekend. The tragic news that we got yesterday was that actor Anton Yelchin had passed away. Just 27 years old. Found at his home in Los Angeles around 1 a.m. on Sunday morning, pinned between his car and a brick mailbox. The engine was still running. It was in neutral on a fairly steep incline, and apparently it was a freak accident where Anton was either at his mailbox or at his gate of his home, and the car he was driving rolled down the incline and hit him, struck him, pinning him against the brick mailbox and the car. And that's where he lost his life. Tragic news. He was a really talented actor and, by all accounts, a really good guy. And now they're saying, I mean, people, when they heard the news, are like, how does it happen? How do you get out of a car in neutral and then go to your mailbox or to your gate? How does that happen? Well, now details are coming out that the vehicle Anton Yelchin was driving was reportedly a late model Jeep Grand Cherokee. Now, this past April, certain 2014, 2015 Jeep Grand Cherokees were recalled by the manufacturer. Wow. Because the National Highway Safety Administration was investigating 14 complaints of what they were calling a rollaway factor.
You're kidding.
In which the transmission shifts from park into neutral after you've put it in park. So it looks as if perhaps his Jeep was one of these that was under the recall because they were having a problem with this. And in fact, he may have put it in park, got out of the car, and then it shifted itself into neutral, taking his life.
Oh, my God.
So, just a tragic story on every level. At the age of 27, he passed away, so that's horrific. And not to be the bearer of bad news, although I often am, we lost Prince B, singer for PM Dawn, has also passed away. New York Daily News reported that he had kidney disease and passed away on Friday at the age of 46. I don't know if you were a big PM Dawn fan or not, but they had a bunch of hits in the 90s, especially in 1991. They had a smash hit called Set Adrift on Memory Bliss, which was a great tune and also sampled another great tune. Spandau Ballet's True was a part of their song. Here's a little PM Dawn's work. Set Adrift on Memory Bliss. A careless whisper from a careless man. A neutron dance for a neutron fan. Marionette strings are dangerous things. A thought of all the trouble they bring. An eye for an eye, a spy for spy, rubber bands expand in a frustrating sigh. Tell me that she's not dreaming. She's got an ace in the hole that doesn't have meaning. It's a great sample and a great song. PM Dawn's lead singer Prince B passed away at the age of 46.
And that was complications of diabetes or?
Kidney disease.
Yikes.
They had other hits, too. I Die Without You from the Eddie Murphy movie Boomerang. You may remember that. Looking Through Patient Eyes, which also had Kathy Dennis on it, had a sample from Father Figure by George Michael. They were a great band that used a lot of great samples. So it's a bummer, man. Sorry.
God, Ralph.
Happy Monday, everybody.
Right?
Today's celebrity birthdays, Chris Mintz-Plasse. We've had him on the show a bunch of times. You know him, of course, from Kick-Ass and Superbad, 27 years old today. Chino Moreno, Deftones singer, 43 years old. Robert Rodriguez is 47. Nicole Kidman turns 49. John Goodman, 64 today. Lionel Richie, 67.
Last one for Burtonsville from Lionel Richie, and he gets more Richie every time we play one of his songs.
Oh, being in the freaking wordplay. Just stop it.
Oh, Ralph.
Really? Last week?
Oh.
Was he on a tear?
No. It might have been me.
Oh, no.
And it was a lady from CatCon, and I punned it up so much that I thought Kevin was going to fall. He was so upset.
Oh, poor Kevin. Had to deal with Bean and
she
Bean.
He was so mad.
Oh, man. That's why he needs a vacation.
Yeah,
you guys
pretty much.
Beat him up.
Yeah.
Singer Brian Wilson, 74 years old from the Beach Boys, of course. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I saw something on Twitter that shocked me, Ralph. I'm glad you're in here. You know how Kevin hates puns?
Oh, yeah. Any kind of wordplay.
Wordplay, yes, thank you. That's even more descriptive.
Yeah.
He hates wordplay. Now, what are examples of wordplay that drive you crazy, Kevin? Is it the snappy headlines that people come up with for newspaper articles?
That
bugs
me.
The way TV announcers do some sort of a little tie-in to the news story when they do it on TV.
You roll your eyes, right? All of that bugs
me. Yeah, Kevin doesn't like it when we take a lyric from the song of a performer when we're talking about that performer and use that when we're talking about
them. I'm sort of a dick about it.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're a big dick.
I mean, why do you think it is? I mean, sometimes those things can be very clever, very creative. Why does that bother you so much?
I don't know.
Does me not use words good?
Yeah, maybe.
Me hate other people, go better, fine, have good.
I mean, is it? Does it seem like corny? Like it's
yeah,
an older form of comedy?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I've never really had to
I think wordplay is forever.
Well, I know
well,
you do.
You're the exact opposite end of the spectrum. You guys really are the are diametrically opposed when it comes to their love of wordplay.
Hey, we're giving you your fill this morning.
Hey, Lionel gets a little richier right. every time you play a song.
Maybe it's because I've worked with Bean for so long.
It could be. He's just driven you away from it.
I just hate wordplay, and I'm a dick about it.
So look how often I get thrown into the Would You Like to Take That Back file because I've made some sort of wordplay. Okay, so that's the setup to now you know where Kevin is coming from when it comes to wordplay. So I see this tweet a couple of days ago when the news broke that Vanilla Ice had gotten in trouble stealing pool supplies and bicycles from an abandoned house next door to where he was working on his reality TV show in Florida, right?
Right.
So here's the tweet from Kevin. Vanilla Ice arrested for burglary in Florida. If he can steal a pool heater, let him have it. So far, so good.
Yeah. Now, because pool heaters are huge.
Right. Big, clumsy items.
If that guy can accomplish that, it's his.
Yeah, I think we understand the tweet, Kevin. Okay. Yeah, thanks so much.
So
don't
let's
need to explain
on.
It any longer.
What are we doing next? Movie beat?
So if it had ended there, I would have thought, well, you know, Kevin's making it funny because a pool heater is a difficult item, and that's give the guy, let him have it if he could drag it off the property. But then this happens. Hashtag heist baby.
Oh.
Heist baby.
Yeah. Heist baby?
Yeah. How? But you?
Yeah.
But I don't under... Tell me,
I
what?
I wish you could have heard the struggle in my head when I was like, that's pretty funny, but I effing hate that kind of comedy, so...
Well, then how can you lie? How can you think it's funny if you hate it?
I don't know. So then
and more
I thought,
importantly, how can you use it? How can you type it and
so
send
then I
it?
Thought, so then I thought what I'm going to do after that is I'm going to hashtag not proud of that, which I do occasionally because I want people to know that that's not necessarily what I'm proud of. No room. Couldn't do it. So then I started looking through the lyrics to try and come up with something better. Stop, collaborate, and listen. I'm like, how do I work that into a couch? How do I make that funny?
So this was really a struggle
wow.
for you.
I wish you spent this much time on the show as you do your tweets.
So I couldn't come up with anything better, and I couldn't disclaimer it, so I just put it on there.
So you just let it fly. So the first tweet that you got in response to that was, hey, did Bean hack your Twitter account? So people
yeah.
were already confused because they know you, and
yeah.
they couldn't figure out why heist baby could possibly have been acceptable to you.
I couldn't think of anything better, which is what disturbs me more, and I couldn't let it go.
Well.
I just couldn't.
I'm looking forward to our new segment. Thanks for that tweet, Kevin.
Thanks for that
tweet, Kevin.
Now,
if he can have a pool heater, just let it happen. Hashtag heist baby.
You know what else was really surprising?
Because heist rhymes with ice.
We don't need you to explain it, Kevin, anymore. It's going to be, thanks for that tweet, Kevin.
Thanks for that tweet, Kevin.
We're going to have to tell you, you don't need to explain the tweet. We
know,
get it.
I'm just doing that to annoy you.
Most of the time, Kevin's tweets are about the Waking Dead or then the Eking Dead.
Right. Yeah.
How many times did you try to spell that one the other day?
In total, four.
Four. Now, what if I had beaten you to the punch?
Oh.
What if I had tweeted, heist baby?
I would have hated on you for it.
Yeah.
I would have.
It would have gone right into the thanks for that tweet being
bad. Yeah, it would have. I can't deny that. So what you're saying is,
Kevin's a dick and a hypocrite. Yeah.
But
I guess we are.
But heist baby.
Wordplay.
I mean, look, I don't like it. But you
did it.
But you couldn't resist it.
I couldn't.
It was
resist.
Too sweet.
and
it
what,
felt too good.
And what does that say about me that heist baby is too sweet?
You are not to be trusted. That's what it says. This is that article about soccer you wrote all over again.
So my original opinions are not to be trusted
at all?
You
are not to be trusted. From now on, you will be ignored.
Kevin's a dick and a hypocrite. Yeah.
The summer travel season is upon us, and when you start talking about the summer travel season, you talk about if it's possible, planes will be even more filled up with people than they are right now. I don't remember the last time I was on a flight that every single seat wasn't filled.
Yeah.
But you go to the airport these days, man, and it seems like you are there for hours before you get on a flight. In fact, the TSA, for a long time now, you know, since they put all the post 9/11 rules into effect, has said 2 hours for domestic, 3 hours for international. Increasingly, that's not even enough anymore for people. People are in security lines for hours now. Thousands, literally thousands of people per major airport are missing their flights every month because they can't get through the security lines. It's a crisis.
I have a question. Why can't the TSA hire more people? I can't tell you the number of times I've been in an airport where one lane is open and there's eight next to it that are closed.
I think that it is a stressful job that does not pay very well, that is very difficult to keep people at that job. And I think that there's a lot of turnover, and I think training takes a long time. One report that I heard on the news over the weekend was that they currently have 750 new TSA agents in training right now, but it takes several weeks to get them ready to send them out to airports. So they're hoping to make some improvements before the summer season. But why speculate when we've got an expert on the phone, an actual spokesperson from the TSA, Mr. Alan McGee, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ right now. Mr. McGee, we know you're very busy. Thanks so much for jumping on, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
This has just been a public relations nightmare for your organization these past few weeks, hearing about all these terrible lines at airports all over the country.
It has been, and we want here at the TSA, we want everyone to know that we recognize how frustrating it can be to try to catch a flight and be held up in security. And they need to know that we're aware of the problem, but we still have major concerns with safety as Americans fly through the air, and our job is to try to balance expediency and getting people through those lines as quickly as possible while at the same time not compromising security and making sure everyone is as safe as possible.
Have there been new security restrictions that we're not aware of that is making it harder for you and taking longer per passenger to get through that line?
No, it's the same process. I mean, there have been some advents that have changed slightly the amount of time it takes to go through. I mean, walking through a metal detector is a little bit quicker than standing inside one of our scanners where you have to raise your arms over the head and be scanned. There's a little time added to that. But other than that, the process is basically the same. It's just, as you mentioned, providing more TSA employees and also trying to deal with the uptick in travel. People are traveling more than ever.
So it's still belts and shoes and take your keys out and your cell phone and your laptops and your toiletries. It's still, we're doing all of that, and it just takes longer for people to get through.
Yes, but our plan now is to add additional lines more specific to each passenger's needs and type of travel, and this way try to expedite things by moving some of those people into a separate line where they can go through even quicker because we have compartmentalized that particular type of passenger.
Well, that sounds like a good idea, then.
The belts and shoes thing certainly has been successful in keeping us safe, so we're taking it one step further. We're trying things out here at O'Hare in Chicago to create a nude security line.
A
nude security line where you would go through completely nude. This way we know that you're not carrying any contraband or anything that could be potentially hazardous.
What if I'm keistering something?
That's an excellent point. We do have a way to deal with that. In fact, if you have any items that are smaller than 3 ounces, you can actually put them in one of your Orify get through the line quicker that way. This gentleman right here has it, sir. Yep, thank you. Thanks for putting that there, sir. We appreciate that. Putting that hair gel right there so you can carry it safely.
So you're advising people to do that?
Oh, yeah. Just stuff things all in your butt.
Okay. All right. That surprised me. I'll have to give that some more thought. All right. What other lines are you setting up then?
Well, if you're unconscious in the air, you really can't do any damage. We found that to be the case. So we have a new propofol flight we're trying out.
What?
Oh.
Propofol, where you will be administered approximately 20 cc's of propofol in the security line, and then we will cart your unconscious body onto the plane, load you pretty much as luggage, and then wake you up once you get to your destination. Sir, propofol, go ahead. There we go. Just put him on the conveyor belt. We'll just get him.
Well, I mean, like you said, no trouble with those passengers in the air. You can count on that.
You can't do anything if you're unconscious. That's science.
Makes a lot of sense.
Also, we have another flight where everyone, upon entering the flight, will be given a chainsaw.
That's a terrible idea. That sounds dangerous.
No, it's not dangerous as long as everyone has one. if you've never felt safer, quite frankly, in the air than having a nice sturdy chainsaw in your lap, you make sure you'll be taken care of.
I feel like that's not for me, maybe.
How about the farter flight?
I'm sorry?
Oh, no. What? How does that help with security?
Well, that flight will be less crowded, we think.
Okay.
To get people through. I mean, it's just a handful of people who enjoy not only farting, but the farts of other people. So that will
be. Yeah.
That's a small group right there.
Also, to reduce traffic in the air, we will be offering special banjo flights.
Yeah, a lot of empty seats on that one.
Nothing but banjo music.
entire flight, internationally, too. So
that's torturous.
About 10 hours in the air. What? It's all banjo. So far, only Steve Martin has been playing on that plane, but we're hoping more people will eventually sign up. And speaking of entertainment, we have another flight that we're hoping will reduce air travel. It is a flight where it features the stylings of a comedian on the air flight.
Oh. Why the preacher said to the bellhop, more popular than you are. And the bellhop says, no, I'm more popular than you are. I ring the bell, everybody's coming here. But you are saying blah, 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 blah.
That's the worst flight ever.
We have a lot of seats open on that one. If you like
Humiliating and embarrassing sports bet losses is the topic on the table right now. I'm looking around online, and there are there are so many things. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, you have to dress up in the other team's uniform or jerseys, or in some cases even helmet, and go to work and spend your whole day like dressed up. Like you bet on the Panthers and you lose, you have to dress up in a Broncos uniform all day at work. There's a lot of that.
Or say a Dolphins uniform.
Right, Allie?
I don't remember that.
Why don't we start with let's start with Manny. He's in Los Angeles. He's up first online too. What was the bet? Do you remember?
Oh, yes. During practice, I bet my kid, ninth grader, that he couldn't make a 50-yard field goal. And in practice, he did it. And I told him, if you can make a 45-yarder, I'll shave my beard. And he did it. So then I ante up the bet. I go, okay, if you can make a 50-yarder, I'll shave my head bald. And he did it.
Did you, say your ninth grader? Your ninth grader made a 50-yard field goal.
Yes.
And what NFL team does he play for now?
He's still a ninth grader. This happened.
Oh, he's still, oh, this just happened.
Manny is
okay.
Not paying for college.
Wow.
That kid is
fine.
And
were you man enough to go through with it and actually get your head shaved?
Oh, absolutely. And that we actually have video on it.
Sweet.
That's great. That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. Your kid must have loved that. All right, so thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Manny.
I hope Manny gets back to us and let us know what happens with his kid, because that's amazing. Let's go to Chris Pasadena up next on line five, please, talking about bad sport bets that you lost.
Hey, Chris.
I was in high school, and Duke was playing Michigan. My math teacher went to Michigan, and so she was pretty pumped for the game. They were still pretty good at the time. And so we made a bet, and we would be able to skip class if I won, but if we didn't, I had to dress like Madonna and sing Like a Virgin in front of my math class. And so Michigan actually won, so that goes to show you when I was in high school. And I had to do it, and she filmed it. So there's probably some film of me somewhere over the ethos there.
Got to be honest, I'd like to
see Like a Virgin with a feather boa.
I'd like to see that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you would.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to line four, please. Woodland Hills. This is going to be Bob up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good. Well, because I'm a Packers fan and we play on the frozen tundra, I bet guys that had to, I took a jersey and threw it in the freezer with a little bit of water splashed on it, so they had to wear it while it thawed out. And then,
wear a frozen jersey for how long?
No, until it thaws out. And then they have to wear it the rest of the week and take photos as they go to places like the gas station, Home Depot, grocery store, whatever, to show that they've been wearing it. They have to text me the photos. The other thing that I do is I make guys on their cars, they have to have Packer bumper stickers and Packer license frames and take off whatever they've had on there supporting their stupid teams.
You know, I will tell you, and I know this isn't going to make sense for people who don't care about sports, but that hurts so bad if you have to wear something or put something on your car for a team you hate, a team that you bet against. I mean, that is painful.
Well, especially those guys have to put that stuff on their cars at the end of each season and have to leave it on there until the start of the next season, not even preseason.
Is a savage.
Bob, it sounds sadist. It sounds like you've never lost, too. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
Rarely. We're the Packers.
We're the Packers. Okay. Oh, really? We're looking forward to seeing the Packers in the Super Bowl this weekend.
Well, even if we don't make it that far, we just do it. Whoever's got the best record at the end of the season, too.
I got you. All right. Well, you're pretty safe there, then.
Yeah, exactly. although this year they did not win their division. Remember? Mm-hmm. All right. Very much appreciate the call. Thank you, Bob. Let's get our man Nick on and find out what he had to do.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Embarrassing sporting bets.
Embarrassing sporting bets. This one had to do when it was the Cardinals and Steelers against one another. I was at a Super Bowl party, and my good friend was a diehard Steelers fan. He was being a little extra cocky, saying the Steelers would win hands down. So I wanted to bet against him. So I made a bet saying whoever lost, I represented the Cardinals, of course, him, the Steelers. The loser would have to streak through our neighborhood back home in Chicago in the ice and snow with a Viking helmet on while playing bongos. The entire party drove alongside throwing the vegetables from the vegetable dip at the opposing person.
Wow. That is fantastic.
That is a really complete bet.
That is fantastic.
We made it interesting.
I like it.
You have never rooted harder during a football game than that.
Oh, no, not at all. And I'm a Bears fan, so.
That's pretty sweet.
So what was it like?
Oh, it was absolutely freezing. I remember it was definitely below zero. I almost slipped a few times. I think a carrot almost got wedged between my butt cheeks.
Right. First of all, that wasn't a carrot.
But I swear, it felt like paintballs being shot at you when it was just celery and carrot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And how long do you estimate you were outside running down the streets of Chicago playing a bongo while wearing a Viking helmet, which is a sentence I never thought I'd ask?
Probably, like, honestly, a mile.
A mile!
Oh, your friends are awful.
They lived right behind me. They were honking and, like, threatening to literally run me over.
That's
pretty great. They were loving it.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Top it off, they put it on Facebook. I kid you not.
I'm going to need that link, Nick.
Yeah, we're going to need that link if you would send that to us, please.
Nick, you're awesome. Thank you for calling and sharing that story with us. That is great. All right, let's go to line one, Culver City. This is going to be E. He's up next.
Hey, E.
I had a bet on the UCLA-Gonzaga game. You guys remember about 10 years ago. Where UCLA was playing Gonzaga in the Final Four, the Adam Morrison game where he was crying at the end of the game.
Right.
Yeah, the bet was that the loser would have to shave the name of the other team into their hair before senior photos in high school.
Ooh,
pretty sweet.
And it was UCLA was down, I picked UCLA, and UCLA was down 16 at halftime, and I got 5 voicemails, which is the sound of the shaver and the clippers. Yeah, and was calling my parents' house at the time, and they just kept playing. My parents were like, what is that sound? What's going on? And I was freaking out, and then UCLA won the game in the last second. We went to school the next morning, and we shaved UCLA into this kid's hair before senior photos, and it's sitting in the yearbook.
Pretty
and we
sweet.
We have our 10-year reunion this year, and I'm sure it's going to come
Hold him down and shave it again.
Yep, right?
Do the right
thing. That's awesome. That is great. Thank you so much, E. We appreciate that.
Let it breathe. Yeah. Do that.
Oh, that felt good.
Yeah. That's all you get.
I love that. The violins and piano. Makes me feel all classy.
Hello, boys and girls. Welcome to a Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's your old radio pal, Ralph Garman, here behind the microphone with Allie and Chip.
Did you say your old radio pal?
I did. Boys are on vacation this week, but we are bringing you showbiz and... Cool thing is, when Kevin and Bean take a little time off, I get to do things I don't ordinarily get to do, like do the show Pantless, which I'm doing currently right now.
So good, great, Chip. I don't know if it's
so warm out. You can't really wear pants.
No, pants
not in this heat. You chafe, Allie.
I'm aware, but
I gotta let these boys breathe. You know what I'm
saying? Powder. A lot of people use powder.
Some Gold Bond, maybe
something.
But besides that, I also get to give away stuff, and in this case, it's really cool. I have got the winner to the Festival Flyaway 2016 Destination Number 4, Lollapalooza in Chicago. This is an amazing grand prize that I'm going to award right now. It's a trip for two to Lollapalooza in Chicago, round-trip airfare, hotel, and, of course, passes to Lollapalooza, and $500 spending cash. This is coming from K-Rock? It's not possible. This is lots of good stuff going to one lucky K-Rock listener, and that winner is... Jason Libring! Congratulations, Jason Libring. You're going to Lollapalooza in Chicago. Thanks to folks here at K-Rock. Lollapalooza in Chicago, that's amazing.
That's really fun.
It really is. So congratulations once again to Jason Libring. He is our grand prize winner for Festival Flyaway 2016 Destination Number 4. Lollapalooza in Chicago. Pretty cool.
Kevin's been there. I know that's shocking.
I think I've been there. I'm not sure. That's a place I'm not sure if I've ever been to.
I believe he had to be rescued from a biker bar when he was there.
Rescued,
if you know what I mean.
Speaking of pants off, dance off. Here on a Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office on the Showbiz Beat. Finding Dory, number one, crushing the previous record for an animated film opening with $137 million this weekend. I know. It's crazy. Finding Dory, just a monster hit this weekend. That was number one by far. Then Central Intelligence in its debut, $34.5 million made it number two. Conjuring 2, Now You See Me 2, Warcraft came in at number five. Then X-Men Apocalypse, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Me Before You, Alice Through the Looking Glass, and Captain America Civil War were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Hey, little TV programming note. Tonight. Tonight.
Yeah. Tonight.
On Jimmy Kimmel Live, a little band called Garbage will be performing. Right?
Right.
With my good friend Shirley Manson, of course.
Now that you finally met her.
In the lead. Of that bad wit, finally met her. We're longtime pals, Shirley and I.
You just met her at Weenie Roast.
We finally connected at Weenie Roast, yes, and she couldn't have been more adorable and wonderful. Remember how she sort of beckoned me to her? She crooked her finger and just did a sort of.
She straight did this like wiggle and
seductive
and her
little
finger.
Dance she did. Yeah. Then there was much hugging and much rejoicing.
And some whispers.
And there were whispers, and I will never reveal what she said to me because it's our secret. Anyway, the Garbage will be playing tonight. On Jimmy Kimmel Live. So check that out on ABC. Speaking of ABC, also tonight it's the return of The Bachelorette. Chad is knocking at the window.
Oh, he got back to the house and he's being creepy, right?
Yes.
Oh, no.
He trucked through the woods, through the wilderness. With like a machete and a hockey mask on.
They're all going to die tonight.
That's my prediction. All the other Bachelor at contestants will die tonight. That's my guess.
And it's been off for a week, right?
Yeah, they took
last
week off.
Are you okay? Like, how have you been feeling?
Like,
pent up?
Jonesing?
Yeah.
I'm slapping my arm looking for a vein.
Oh, okay.
That's all
your arm. Got it.
Yeah. I need to mainline some Bachelorette. That's tonight. And P will come by tomorrow. We will give you, even though Kevin and Bean are on vacation, we will give you a brand new Bachelorette report tomorrow. So
sweet.
Don't miss that. It'll probably be like 8:05 or something. We're still working out the details, but I'll let you know. Those are all good things. You know what else is good? Drake. Drake's doing pretty well for himself.
Because his team, the Cavs, won, right?
Right. There's that. But also, he's got the number one album in the world right now. His Views album is now in its seventh week at number one on the Billboard 200. Just sold another 121,000 total units. And that is pretty strong.
Huh.
And he also kept Nick Jonas from hitting the top spot with his debut. That was good. That dick, Nick Jonas.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
Thank you. The boys know.
Yeah.
Yeah, Drake, so congratulations to him. Seventh week in a row at number one. Did you see Jiminy Glick interviewing him a couple weeks ago on Maya and Marty? Oh, Jiminy Glick's the best. He had Drake in his interview chair, and Jiminy, he didn't really know who Drake was or what he did, and he let him know it.
This is so much fun for me, because normally I interview celebrities, so this is going to be a change. I don't know anything about you. I know that you rap.
Yeah.
Why do some people tune out rap? And particularly your rap.
I have like a number one song right now, and I'm singing.
Oh, you have a number one song. What's it called?
One Dance.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it. Yeah, so not everybody's favorite. And I have some horrible news to report. Besides the fact that, of course, Anton Yelchin passed away over the weekend. That was horrible. He was found crushed between his own car and his brick mailbox that was attached to his security gate at his home. Now speculation is that the Jeep Cherokee he was driving was one of which had been issued a recall because it had a history of slipping from park into neutral. And perhaps they're saying that's the way Anton passed away. But at the age of 27, just beyond being way too young, and an enormously talented and nice man. So that's sad news. But also, the Chewbacca mom just got her own action figure.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, Hasbro has made a one-of-a-kind specialty Chewbacca mom action figure. It is basically Chewbacca with Chewbacca mom's face on it, which is terrifying under any circumstances. And then it's also got a Chewbacca mask that you put on top of her face. which makes it look just like a regular Chewbacca doll. It's just wrong.
They just made one, though, for her,
just
right?
Just one for her, okay. Yeah. But still, that's too much.
This is why you failed.
Right?
I think maybe it's time to
and
stop.
And it speaks. It speaks. It has 13 catchphrases, Allie. You can press the button, and you'll hear her say, "That's not me making that noise. It's the mask."
It's the mask!
And I'm such a happy Chewbacca. It says that. And her signature laugh goes on and on and on and on until it haunts your nightmares. So she got that over the weekend. So that's just...
I think you know my feelings about Chewbacca.
Yes, and what
I
that
loved
you
her.
Said?
I loved
you,
her so right. much.
What are you
I,
saying now?
She brings
Allie?
So much. Right. I think it's time to say goodbye.
Oh, is it?
I think,
really?
I think we're done.
You
with
don't
Chewbacca
see more
Mom.
Pictures of her traipsing through Disneyland
I think we're
or
good.
Having riches bestowed upon her.
I think we're okay.
Giant chests of gold doubloons left on her front doorstep.
Gold what?
Doubloons.
Doubloons?
Yes.
I don't even know what
from
that
a
is.
Spanish galleon.
Why don't
you know what that is?
I wonder.
Anyway, enough with the Chewbacca mom. Today's celebrity birthday is Christopher Mintz-Plasse is 27 years old. Today, Chino from Deftones turns 43. Robert Rodriguez, the director, is 47. Nicole Kidman's 49. John Goodman is 64. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys fame is 74. And singer Lionel Richie.
That's one for Burtonsville from Lionel Richie. And he gets more Richie every time we play one of his songs.
Yeah, that's going out to Burtonsville. He's 67 years old today.
So
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We all love the TV, and sometimes it's hard to understand why shows get canceled and why shows don't get picked up. And Allie, you've had some Nashville feelings lately as a result
yeah.
of that cancellation, I know.
Yeah.
A lot of people very upset, as am I, by the way, about Agent Carter being mm-hmm. canceled by ABC. In fact, there's a petition with tens of thousands of signatures on it right now to try to get Netflix to pick up and start making Agent Carter, which I think would be great. But here's a real head-scratcher for you. Our friend Sarah Shahi, who we love so much, she's such a nice lady and a terrific actress. She's one of the stars of Person of Interest. She was supposed to star in a new series on CBS based on the old Nancy Drew books. It was called Drew. So she's playing a female detective, right? So apparently they made a pilot and the show tested well, but the network decided to not put it on the schedule in the fall because it, quote, skewed too female.
Huh.
Now, what's that about?
Maybe a lot of their programming is aimed at men, and that's what they
Then you
want?
Think you'd be delighted to
Absolutely.
Have something that brings
Whole
ladies
new
in.
Audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whole new
so
audience.
We wanted to find out more about this, and it's a very curious thing with CBS. So we asked Dave if there's somebody he could line up for us. And in the programming department, the vice president of CBS programming is Brick Rockhard, and he joins us on K-Rock right now. Hey, Mr. Rockhard.
Hey, dudes. What's up?
How are you?
Well, I'm great. How are you? I'm so swole this morning.
Right.
Are you? I'm pumped and huge. I already got a workout in. It's arm and chest day.
So,
So
you're a vice president of programming for CBS Television Network.
That's right.
Very popular network, the number one network on television.
Yeah, right, we're number one. We're number one. We're number one. Beer pong!
Right. So what can you tell us about our friend Sarah Shahi and her show?
Don't get me started on that thing.
What do you mean?
Nancy Drew.
Right, yeah. Right.
Blah.
Very popular book series for many decades
for
with
chicks.
Millions of fans.
For chicks, for millions of chicks.
And what's wrong with that?
Right?
No, I'm saying what is wrong with that?
Yeah, chicks.
No, what I'm saying is that would bring a lot of female viewers to your network.
Oh,
wouldn't you want that?
Like women are watching television.
I'm
too busy sewing.
We do. Whoa, sewing. Really?
You're the worst, Rick. They sew.
But, Mr. Rocco.
Laundry.
I don't want to tell you how to do your job.
Oh, who needs female shows on television? Blah,
my
right.
point
Who's
is,
with me?
But women have jobs, and they have money, and they have
right?
spending power, and
I
they
know.
Make a lot of decisions
I
about things.
I can't fix that.
No, but I'm saying that's how it is, and that's fine. Why not reach those ladies with your advertisements?
Because they're too female. We found out of our research that women are very female.
What does that mean?
What
right?
does that mean?
Exactly.
No, I'm asking, what does that mean?
It means it's very female.
Right.
Right.
So we did this show, right, Nancy Drew, and we had, like, it's about a woman.
Uh-huh.
And we put a woman in the lead.
Right.
And we watched it, we're like, dude, this is so female.
Okay, right.
Right.
So me and the other dudes in programming got together and said, no, we're not going to put that on the air.
Huh. Are you really a vice president of programming at CBS?
That's right, dude.
But what about a Supergirl? Now, that has a female lead, and that's on CBS. Oh, that's
gone.
Right. I forgot you canceled that, too. I forgot
gone.
You said that to the CW.
Right?
Well, you've got Mom. You've got The Good Wife. Yeah. Those are both female.
We're changing all that. CBS is revamping their entire schedule to reflect dudes.
Okay. Is that right?
We don't want there to be two females, so we're taking everything. We're rebooting it all.
Okay. Like, what do you mean?
Our new comedy, Two Broke Dudes.
Oh,
about two dudes who work at a diner. They're such dudes.
That's Two Broke Girls. You just replaced them with dudes.
Right? It's awesome.
No.
Another comedy, Big Banging Your Sister Theory.
Oh, no. Man. Okay.
No.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
That doesn't sound awesome.
The new comedy, Mom is in the Kitchen Making Me a Sandwich.
I hate you, Brick.
Our new drama, The Good Wife is in the Kitchen Making Me a Sandwich. We got CSI coming back.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. All right.
CSI Balls.
Oh, who wants that?
Dudes.
Nope.
Dudes.
Okay.
Who fight crime. Person of interest. Penis
yes.
of interest.
Penis of interest?
Yeah, it's about a guy's got a machine that can tell you where chicks are going to be in the future, and you show up there, and you got a penis. Right, dudes? Right.
This is awfully duty.
Look, we're aware there's a lot of other networks that have success with female-based shows.
Uh-huh. Right.
So we're taking those shows, and we're going to dude them up.
Wait, you're remaking other network shows now?
Yeah, like Jane the Virgin, but not for long. Right? That's our new show. You know Empire?
Yes.
Sure, of course.
How about Himpire?
Well, that's not even a thing.
Right?
It is a thing. It's about a bunch of dudes who run a record label, and all their songs are like Motley Crue and like Poison.
Right.
Dudes!
Good examples, Brick.
You know that show Scandal?
Yeah, of course. Very popular.
Oh,
yes.
This fall on CBS, it's Mandel. It's about a male president who gets a guy to help him fix things.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Mandel.
He's not happy about that one.
We got how to commit murder because your girlfriend won't shut up during the football game.
I'm not positive you want to do that.
Dudes?
No, not right.
And then instead of Grey's Anatomy, we have Gay's Anatomy.
A lot of dudes?
What's more dude than dudes doing other dudes? Dude.
Beer Mug was on the red carpet for Brothers Grimsby. The first one is the setup, and this is really weird because Beer Mug has had problems with the setup in the past where he starts and he says, hey, we're here, this is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And this time, strangely, he nails it.
First try?
First try.
Wow.
But then for some reason is not happy with it.
Oh, no.
So then he continues to try and do it again, and he never even gets back to the point where he was at the very beginning.
Ali G, Borat, Bruno, just some of the many characters from Sacha Baron Cohen. We're here at the world premiere of his new movie, The Brothers Grimsby. We're going to see who we can talk to.
Perfect.
Ali G.
Awesome.
Ali G.
What?
Ali G. It's Ali G. Muhammad Ali G.
He's still going.
Ali G. Borat. Some of the characters from Sacha Baron Cohen. Bruno. He's coming out with his new Brothers Grimsby. We're here in Westwood. Is it? Do you want the light on? Ali G. Borat. Bruno. Just some of the many characters that Sacha Baron Cohen has brought us.
Now, so this goes on for a little while, so I decided that maybe the way to handle this would be to just speed it up.
Ali G, Borat, Sacha Baron Cohen has brought us the new Sacha Baron Cohen movie, The Brothers Grimsby, Sacha Baron Cohen. Ali G, Borat, Bruno, just some of the many characters from Sacha Baron Cohen. We're here at his new premiere. What?
What?
Testicles.
What?
All right, here we go. I'll get it on this one, I promise.
What are you basing that on?
Mugs, why did you do it again?
It was perfect the first time.
The very first one was perfect.
Knocked it out of the park. But I like to give Carlos a little extra, material to work with.
Just seriously.
I know. I should have stopped.
Yes.
I know.
You said it even just if it's just okay. You accept that and run.
Yeah, I know. I'm a perfectionist.
Sure.
That's what you're famous for.
Muggs is known for being a perfectionist.
Muggs doesn't do it unless it's great.
Wheeler Walker Jr.
Oh, we love him.
Was on the red carpet, and he walked up to Beer Mug, and they had a little conversation.
Hey, Wheeler Walker Jr. How's it going? Welcome to the Brothers Grimsby world premiere. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm psyched to play. I just heard I'm playing your show.
April Foolishness, you're on the bill.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a blast. Tell people to get their ready.
Yeah, that's awesome. I can't wait. Are you going to come out with Fighting Fartin'?
No, I'm not going to bring the whole band because it's kind of a small stage, so we'll see how it goes. But yeah, maybe you bitch, Fighting Fartin', maybe better off all the hits.
He's the best.
The first Ghostbusters featured a man by the name of Ernie Hudson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did.
Who I love so much. He's the guy who delivered the line, "That's a big Twinkie." That's one of my favorite lines of all time. So he walks up to Beer Mug, and Beer Mug is now talking to him. And I don't know why, but occasionally Muggs will only mic himself.
Right.
And doesn't get and does all of the talking, so not only does the guest not have a chance to talk, but when he says a word or two, you can barely understand it.
I'm a huge, huge Ghostbusters fan. I mean, I was a little kid when it came out, and I loved Winston Zeddemore. Let me tell you, I saw the trailer today, and the ghosts, I liked it. Okay, the ghosts. It actually, I think it brought back some of the old feel, the old flair of like the ghosts, especially in Ghostbusters 2,
right?
Where the Titanic scene, So I like it. I think it brings back a lot of the old nostalgia in the new movie. Well, Ernie, I can't wait to see it myself. And are you excited about the Brothers Grimsby?
I think it's going to be really funny.
There you go. He got
He got to talk.
All right. What part of interview do you not understand?
I got excited. I got excited about Ghostbusters. I was just rambling.
But all the time was spent on what you thought about Ghostbusters.
I know.
What about the guy who was in Ghostbusters? What does he have to say?
That would have been nice if I asked him a question.
Well, I mean, you did at the end. You said, are you looking forward to it? You gave him that little one-second soundbite, but that's about it. Then the great Sacha Baron Cohen walks up.
All right, here we go.
He is the star, of course, of Brothers Grimsby, and his character, Muggs, is Nobby. And he's in character. Mm-hmm. So now Muggs is interviewing Sacha Baron Cohen as Nobby.
Nobby. Who would have thought you would be such a big supporter of Trump? What do you see in him that you don't see in other running candidates?
What? Sorry, what?
So close.
By the way, though, let me just say, although he botched it, good question.
Right.
Nobby.
Actually, good question.
Who would have thought you would be such a big supporter of Trump? What do you see in him that you don't see in other running candidates?
Right.
Well, you know, he's a great bloke. You know, people say he's a racist, but he loves everybody. You know, he loves people of his own color, orange. And also, you know, he's not a racist. He's just chosen that very... that black doctor who's recently had a drop in popularity, Bill Cosby.
What do you think of his whole building a wall scenario?
Great. Well, listen, I'm a brickie. I know how to build walls. Give me a bloody job, Trump. You know, he's a genius. He doesn't bother himself with stupid things like facts or the truth. He listens to people, hears what they've got to say, and then he kicks their f***ing heads in. Donald, you bloody need me on your team. Come on. I've got a gun. I've got a beer. I've been to one of your rallies. They're like football hooligan rallies. The only, you know, there's racial abuse. There's insults. The only difference is we don't kick our black people out.
My God.
Sacha Baron Cohen always brings it. Always funny.
And his wife, Isla Fisher, is in this movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Muggs had a chance to spend some time with Isla Fisher.
Lucky.
She's the best, right? We all love her.
Adorable. Yeah.
This might be his best.
Isla, I love you. Isla said she loves me. Drop the mic.
All right, now here's something that's weird. Drop the mic is really, if you're standing there and you're on video, that's an action. Mm-hmm. That you don't just say drop the mic.
Right.
Maybe you hold the mic up and then you let go of it.
And then you drop it, right?
And then you drop the mic.
Visual representation of I just won the world.
Well, he did get that on the second try.
Isla, I love you. Isla said she loves me. Drop the mic. Did you guys see that? Isla said she loves me. This is where I drop the mic.
Yeah, you got it.
You got it. It's just as effective as the first time.
Kuhlhauser.
Oh.
Is a guy
don't you dare. Don't you dare. If you're about to say a bad word about the late, great Kuhlhauser, then I will have none of it.
He's a national treasure,
That's
Kevin.
What I was going to say. He's a national treasure.
He's a goddamn hero is
right.
What he is.
Because he used to do that travel show on PBS where he talked to people who just were so unbelievably boring. But not him. He was great.
He was great. He was great, and the people he talked to were great, too.
Right.
Some of the great citizens of the state of California that he traveled tip to tip to show us everything we wanted to know about California.
Some would say too much.
For decades.
Not me, though.
No one.
For decades, he had a PBS show called California Gold. Unfortunately, Mr. Hauser is no longer with us. He died back in 2013. But this is a huge week for Huel Heads because a brand new
episode. I'm sorry. Bean?
Yes.
Are they called Huel Heads?
I just thought of that, and I don't know why they wouldn't be. But they just found in the vault a lost episode. Now, Kevin, I haven't had a chance to see this yet, but you've seen some of it.
Yes. This is where he talks to a guy who walks from the Midwest all the way to California.
But he walked from Ohio to California.
To California, yes, over a period of several months.
Well, that in itself is amazing.
Yes, it is.
You would say that. Every other sentence was, it's amazing.
Well, because he was excited about life. That's why, because he was intrigued and tickled and amused by so much of California.
Here he listens to one of the first vinyls that was ever created. And you're going to have to, we're going to have to stop at some point because we don't have the rest of the show. So you just tell me when.
Okay, the first thing we're going to do is listen to one of the original wax cylinders.
This was done October 22nd, 1904. Called La Sinaloense.
Okay, so let's put it on.
Just let me know when you...
I feel like maybe we've gotten the gist of the recording, but it's great that that exists. Over 100 years later, he's able to listen to that.
Right. I could watch and listen to this all day.
Well, the episode...
I think we're good.
That's enough?
Yeah, I think that is.
Right. The episode featured a visit to a historic home in Los Angeles owned by an author named Charles Lummis, and it aired Monday night on KECET.
So exciting.
We thought it might be fun to dial up the hotline to heaven and find out what the great Huell Hauser has been up to. It's been a while since we talked to him, of course, because, you know, he did. But we thought it might be fun to get him back on and find out how heaven's treating him and what life is like on the other side. Mr. Hauser, I hope you're there. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Oh,
we're
hi,
doing
Huell.
Great. We miss you.
I miss California.
Yeah, it was your favorite place in the world, wasn't it?
It was my favorite place in the whole world. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Amazing, right. But heaven, that's got to be pretty sweet.
It's okay.
Just okay?
Here's the thing. Heaven has a lot going for it. Mm-hmm. It has clouds.
Right.
And nice angels.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Many of them are shirtless young men. You can oil them up.
Is that right?
The angels? What?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Okay.
But I miss California.
Yeah, sure.
Uh-huh. And I'm glad to know that KCET is running some of my lost episodes.
Yeah, they are.
I got some good ones coming up I don't think they've shown yet.
Oh, there's more?
I thought there was only one lost episode.
No, I've got tons of footage that's never been seen before.
Oh, that is great news.
Great news for the Huell heads, right?
I think the Huell heads are going to love what's coming up soon. They've got my trip to Monrovia where I visit the Corn Cob Museum.
Oh,
that sounds
love
terrible.
That. Yeah.
I mean,
you know,
I love that.
After you eat corn on a cob, you eat all the corn and the cob is left over.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Right.
And each cob's as individual as a snowflake.
So somebody saves corn, the cobs from the corn of the cob?
17,000 empty cobs.
Wow. That's more than I would expect.
It's amazing.
That sounds amazing.
Then I'm going to introduce you to Jim and Alice Gordon. They make brooms by hand.
Okay.
And they've
okay.
got their own broom shop located in Pasadena called I'm Getting Sweepy.
And you're going to do a whole episode on that?
We'll see each strand of straw being put into a broom one after the other. You won't believe how you make a broom. It's amazing.
That's an hour of TV, Huell?
Well, it takes about an hour to make one of their brooms. They're made by hand.
Right. All right.
And the funny thing is, once they're done making them, there's a big mess on the floor, and they have to use the broom to clean up their own mess.
Oh,
isn't
you're
that hilarious?
Kidding me.
I mean, it's, yeah.
Then we'll go to Covina for the world's largest soda pop store.
Oh, I don't know about this.
They've got all kinds of soda pop.
Uh-huh.
It's run by an old lady named Louisa Anderson, and the shop's name is Pop Goes Louisa.
All right.
Okay. I can't wait.
And that's a whole episode.
Look forward to that.
Huell, you okay?
I'm amazing.
You are amazing.
Hey!
How about that, right?
I don't think so.
Got that. Hello, boys and girls. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday morning. Kevin and Bean are off doing something to each other. But we're all here.
Like, is it butt stuff?
Chip's here. Your old pal Ralph is back, and we're doing the Showbiz Beat live for you. And for a couple things to get out of the way. First, amazing basketball game last night.
Mm-hmm.
Game 7 of the NBA Finals.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. And I don't like basketball.
I don't either. I'm not a big basketball fan. Yeah. But yeah. I did watch this series, and I got sucked in more and more so to the point where the seventh game was really important.
Yes.
So are we happy the Cavs won? I am.
I am, yeah.
I don't really have a dog in this fight, but I think it's pretty
either.
Cool.
And I think LeBron is an amazing talent, and he gets so much crap from people.
Yes.
And I think he's one of the best ever.
And he was awesome in Trainwreck.
He was so good in Trainwreck.
So for that reason, he should get some sort of trophy.
Yeah, he promised when he came back to Cleveland he was going to bring a ring, and did it.
He
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
Now so he can leave cool. again.
Yeah, right?
I mean, what?
So that we
That's
covered.
Not what we're saying.
Yeah, he's going to go to the Clippers. So that is covered.
Uh-huh.
Veep last night.
Didn't watch it.
Oh, Allie.
I know. I will tell you why. I had a migraine all day yesterday, and I knew I couldn't enjoy it how I do.
Oh.
I cannot wait to go home. It's the first thing I'm watching.
It's genius, Same. Genius this season.
Yes.
Really, maybe the best season of Veep ever, which is
I totally
crazy
agree with that.
Considering how great it's been.
Yeah. And that it's a new showrunner and all new writers.
Right. That's why it's just inexplicable. But last night's episode was solely the documentary film that Selena Meyer's daughter puts together documenting everything that happens.
No good will come from this.
In Selena Meyer's campaign to become reelected as president. They showed the episode
Catherine.
As if you were watching that documentary.
Well, let's wrap this up. I want to go home.
It was the whole episode last night, and it was sheer brilliance. So
Catherine, why is that your hair?
Catherine.
It's still one of my favorite.
About that camera.
I was getting B-roll of the fax machine.
Yeah, that's right. Did you get that? It's just the best. So, a great Jonah episode last night. And she sits down and interviews everyone involved, and you find out things about Kent that you never imagined, and it's just...
Oh, I can't wait.
So, that also great stuff. So, that's two things I want to talk about. Third thing, this weather's BS, right?
I can't. I hate it so much. And I get angry, and I get stabby, and it's the worst. I hate being hot. People that like heat are horrible people.
Yes,
summer people suck.
If you like heat, go live on the sun.
Thank you.
Right?
Which I'm pretty sure we do right now.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Okay, I just need to get off my chest, and now we can move forward. Top 10 movies at the box office. We talk about that every Monday morning on the Showbiz Beat. Number 1, Finding Dory. Monster success, huge success out of the gate. $137 million for an opening weekend. Crushed the old record for an animated film opening, and it's the biggest animated movie in history. It's a monster. And it's about a fish who can't remember anything. No, not even the baby fish. It's the Kevin fish that can't really remember anything or talk stuff good.
Can retain a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
And then at one point they ask the fish to add zero to 50 million, and just bad things happen. Can I hear that moment with? Because I missed it.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
$50 million.
Add a zero to that.
$150 million?
That would be 500. Okay. Add a zero to the 50. Good freaking Lord.
Hey, hold on. What just happened? $500.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Could you hear the exasperation in my voice?
I couldn't wait. I can't wait for Finding Kevin, the new Pixar film that we're all going to watch. Central Intelligence was second at the box office. Debuted Kevin Hart and Dwayne Johnson's comedy. Debuted to $35 million. Conjuring 2, Now You See Me 2, Warcraft were the top five movies. Then X-Men Apocalypse, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Out of the Shadows, Me Before You, Alice Through the Looking Glass, Captain America Civil War. Those are your top 10 films at the box office this weekend. Big story, of course, over the weekend was the passing of Anton Yelchin, who was a brilliantly talented and charming young man, just 27 years of age. He passed away on Sunday. He was found at his home around 1 a.m. Sunday morning, pinned between his own car and a brick mailbox that was connected to his security gate. The engine in the car was still running. It was in neutral. It was on a fairly steep incline. So as far as people can tell, this freak accident happened. He got out of his car to either check his mail or to open his gate. And then the car somehow slipped into neutral and crushed him against that brick wall. So it was just beyond hideous and terrifying, the whole idea that something like that could happen. And then the loss of a great talent, too. So just tragic. He, of course, probably best known for his work as Chekhov in the rebooted Star Trek films, but had done just a big career of great stuff. He was always good. Charlie Bartlett, he was on Curb Your Enthusiasm playing...
A little boy.
A little
he was
boy,
so young.
Yeah, doing a magic tricks yeah. For Larry on that show. And just he was just a really super talented
We
guy.
Just talked to him a few months ago for Green Room, and he was so funny and so charming. Just... Yeah. It's such a loss.
Heartbreaking. And Nick Cannon, I don't know if you caught his new rap song he released last week.
A literal rap song?
Yes!
He's
a rapper, Allie.
He is?
You don't know.
Oh,
he's not just the host of America's Got Talent. He's got talent of his own right. He's a rapper.
Okay.
It's a new song called Divorce Papers.
Nope.
What could this be about?
Oh, no.
He calls out, amongst other people, Mariah Carey.
Sure.
His soon-to-be ex-wife. But also the United States of America.
He's going to divorce America?
Well, let's hope so. Here's a little taste of his new, brand new rap song called Divorce Papers.
Divorce Papers. My lawyer said don't say shit. Goldman gonna be mad. Nina gonna be heated. They having private meetings saying Nick is going crazy. He out here wearing turbans next to trying to battle Jay-Z. Haters in my comments saying Eminem the greatest. I agree. Where he at, though? I'm a fan, yo. But first and foremost, I'm a man, though.
Is he Jaden Smith?
I was going to say, where's the duet with him and Jaden?
That was a Funny or Die skit,
no,
right?
No,
that's not real.
That's him, and he's got a beef. He's got some beefs.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. He's upset with Mariah Carey. He's upset with the government. In the lyrics of that song, he says, the government sucks.
Oof.
I don't know why. I think because he's got some tax issues. I don't know. But it's really spectacularly bad. If he did that on America's Got Talent, he wouldn't get through to the next round.
He would be buzzed if they buzz people. Do they buzz people? I don't know.
Yes, I believe there are buzzes.
He would be
X's.
So buzzed.
Don't they have X's?
They would be
X's. They have X's.
Yes.
He would be X'd. Simon Cowell would say, you are awful. Get off the stage.
That was not good. God bless him.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, legendary singer-songwriter. 74 years old today. John Goodman, 64. Nicole Kidman is 49. Robert Rodriguez, the talented director, is 47. Chino from Deftones. Chino Moreno, the singer for that band, is 43. Christopher Mintz-Plasse celebrates his 27th birthday. And singer Lionel Richie.
That's one for Burtonsville, for Lionel Richie, and he gets more Richie every time we play one of his songs.
Oh, God.
Richie's 67 years old today, although he may have taken his own life after hearing that from Bean. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We got to find out what's going on with our boy Mike.
Do we? Hold on. Do we?
Do. I think we do.
Yeah, you do have to find out.
Yes, we do. Okay.
If it's near death by poop, I want to know what happened, Michael, because you respects a good poop, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're like a connoisseur.
I show more reverence to the great poo than I do to maybe anything else.
Right, exactly. I mean, Mike's a guy who, when he worked on our show for all those years, took great pride in stepping out to punish the porcelain, if I recall correctly.
Yeah,
that's right. My greatest achievements when I worked for the Kevin and Bean show were not stuff that I did on air. It was when I quit the bathroom out of commission.
Yeah, that's true.
Respectable.
I mean, he would run up and down the hallway with a victory sign. He was just so excited.
It became a hazmat area after Mike was done with it on some days if he did it right. All right, so Mike, so what happened? So you and your lovely bride and your beautiful daughter, what, you all go out to the desert planning on a relaxing weekend of rock and roll at Coachella?
Well, yeah. In fact, my wife and I even had my mother-in-law come to L.A. and stay at our house with Magnolia. So that my wife and I could have like a weekend away.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Romantic
grown-up weekend.
Thing. And so we get up there and we drive up Friday evening. I'm talking to Kevin and Bean, Megan. Thank you. I drive up there Friday night with Bianca, and I feel fine. I go to bed. I feel fine. Wake up Saturday morning. I feel fine. And I get up to go to the bathroom in the hotel room that we were staying in, and nothing seemed off.
Right.
And I go in there and I do damage.
Right.
But when I come out, I tell my wife, I say, I don't really feel very well. And she, that's the last I really remember. But after that, I guess I went back into the bathroom, and she said that I came back out completely covered in sweat and just white as a sheet. And I looked at her and started mumbling and just fell straight back and smacked my head on the toilet in the sinking area. She said I was, like, totally sweaty and you know, saying gibberish and speaking in tongues and stuff. And I feel like I was possessed by poo.
It sounds to me like the porcelain punished you, though, in this particular case.
You know, listen, like I say, sometimes you eat the bar and sometimes the bar eats you.
Right. That's what I've heard, yes. So, Mike, you're a guy who is generally in the tip-top physical condition that a human can be, and you're very careful about what you eat. You're always healthy. You're not a guy who gets sick.
Annoyingly so.
Annoyingly so, right. Yeah. So this isn't just a case of a guy, like happens to me sometimes, which is I don't eat for 14 hours or something like that. I get super lightheaded and fall down because I don't have enough sugar in my blood. That doesn't happen to you, right? You keep that stuff monitored.
No, there was absolutely nothing like dietary wise or any type of weird supplements. I just, you know, I ate healthy the night before. I wasn't like going off the deep end, you know, for vacation. There wasn't something that could have set me off like that.
Right.
And,
gotcha.
The best part about it to me was that, you know, I guess in my fugue state where I don't remember things, right. I kind of got some remnants over hotel floor and like the bedding.
Okay.
And, so my wife, understandably so, you know, calls the paramedics when I pass out, and the firemen showed up first. And I don't remember this, but my wife says, you know, there's poo all over the hotel, you know, bed and floor and everything. And the fireman shows up, and he's like, sir, do you know your name? And I go, it's Michael. And the guy goes, Catherwood? I'm a big fan.
No!
That's how you want to meet your fans, right there.
Yeah. I really want to meet my fans when I have my pants around my knees and there's just remnants of.
We understand. You don't have to give the details. So they take you to the hospital, and did they do a CAT scan or something?
Yeah, they took my blood, and then they, you know, they tested me, did all the vitals and stuff. My blood pressure was like really, really, really low. I guess that's why I passed out. I never got a conclusive answer as to what caused it, but I think that I did like the touchdown poo. And my body told me to give up. Like, you're never going to get any better than that.
You just won. It's over.
It's time to go. Time to go.
So you went to the ER?
Yeah.
Sweet.
And the funny thing is like, the emergency room in Palm Springs on Coachella weekend is one of two people. There's either 90-year-old guys who just broke their hip,
right,
for, like, the fourth time, or a hipster with a beard and a bloody face, you know, from, like, passing out from GHB and ecstasy.
Right.
Right. Look, Mike, you're way too young to die, and you've got many years ahead of you for your family, and of course we're glad you're okay. But if you had to die young, death by poop would have been your choice, right?
That's the way to go.
It would be fighting overseas for our country or death by poop.
All right. All right, Mike. Thank you for talking to us. Glad you're okay, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys.
Okay.
B-Mix's guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
B-Mix's guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Penis a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for B-Mix's guess.
Yes. I think this is gonna be an easy one for us today. This is not gonna
Orange.
Be a tough category. Orange is not on the list.
Oh,
I'm so sorry.
It's not easy then, is it?
I am fascinated by how many people some celebrities have following them on social media. And I have in front of me a list of the top 25 celebrities with the most Twitter followers. All right? So we're talking about Twitter here.
Nice.
The 25 celebrities that have the most Twitter followers. And we'll try to fill in the top 10 here. And I should mention that they're all people. In other words, this list does not include groups like One Direction. This doesn't include CNN or things like that. These are all people on this top 25 list, okay? Kevin, traditionally, you get the first guess. Who are the most followed personalities on Twitter, please?
Justin B. and Burr.
That is an excellent guess, and he is number two on the list with 79-plus million followers.
That's
Justin Bieber is number two. He has a lot of people.
That's a lot.
Ralph Garman.
Kim Kardashian.
Good. Surprisingly, number 10. Kim Kardashian is number 10.
Loser.
Wouldn't you have expected her to be higher? I did.
I thought she'd be in the top five.
She has over 43 million followers. All right. You are also on the board. Beer mug.
Why even do it?
Kanye West.
Pretty much count on beer mug.
You're the best.
Ralph took my guess. I was going to guess Kim Kardashian.
Well, then come up with all the 100 other ideas that were better than Kanye West.
He has only 21 million followers. He's in the low 40s on the list.
Again, why even do it?
Right?
You know? Come on.
K-Rex Kevin? K-Train, as we learned last week. K-Train?
K-Train is my new nickname.
I wasn't aware.
Yes.
See, you miss a week, you miss a lot.
Chuck the Condor. I'm sorry, the new Clippers mascot did not make the list, Kevin, but that was an excellent effort. Ralph Garman.
I hate to say her name out loud for fear that she may appear.
Yes, she is number 3 on the list. Congratulations.
But, Taylor Swift.
With 75 plus million. Yes, she did make the list.
How is she over Kanye?
What, are you an idiot?
You can't.
Are you an idiot?
Thinking about Kanye.
Are you a full-blown idiot?
Ralph, yes. I'd like you to reconsider the fact that you're asking that person if he's an idiot.
Obvious that Taylor Swift would have more followers than Kanye West. Obvious.
Yeah.
That's true.
For a lot of reasons.
Yeah, you're right.
All right. So we got number 2, number 3. Oops, we don't need that button at all.
I got to get that. Hold on a second. Hello, K-Rock. Can I help you? Leave your message.
Beer mug, your guess, please.
Let's go Oprah Winfrey.
No, I'm sorry. Oprah is number 18 on the list.
You're spectacular.
Think of celebrities that are followed on Twitter. That's what we're doing here, bud.
Damn it. Say that.
Celebrities this is on hard. Twitter.
All right, Kevin, what do you got?
Polly Shore.
Okay. I don't feel like you're taking this
Kevin's
seriously.
Making it easy for me. He's giving me a chance.
I don't feel like you're really invested in the game.
How many does he have, though, B?
I don't know. 12, this 13. List only goes up to the top 1,000, so I don't know. Ralph Gurb.
Lady Gaga.
Well, sure, yeah. Lady Gaga's number 6 on the list. Congratulations. She has over 58 million.
I got it.
You got it?
Beyonce.
No. Not in the top 25 anyway.
You can almost guarantee when Mike says I got it.
You don't got it.
That's wrong.
So he's 0 for all right
Jesus.
Now, right?
0 for life.
All right. K-Rex Kevin?
Will Smith's kid. Jaden Smith.
No, I'm sorry.
I thought that was a good guess, Ralph.
Did you?
Ralph Garman, who has not missed yet.
Shut up, B.
Let me.
I will allow it.
Katy Perry.
Number 1.
What?
Katy Perry is number 1 with
good.
Almost 87 million followers on Twitter. And by the way, she follows 159 people. So, that's out of whack.
The only problem I'm having is there's so many great choices.
So many great choices.
I'm having a hard time picking which one, and Beer Mug is struggling to come up with one.
It's hard.
Yes.
It's
yes,
not it's hard.
It's not
the easiest game, this particular game we've ever played.
To narrow down the top 10 is a hard feat.
No, it's not.
Really? Then how is Ralph doing it with every guest?
Because Ralph is a good man and a smart one at that.
All right, Bugs, it's up to you. Let's see if you can keep your streak alive.
Oh, crap. Let's go...
Bill Bixby.
Let's go.
Dan Haggerty.
Joe Jonas.
What a poll.
Claude Aiken.
Hey, good though. Good. Not a bad guess.
No Jonas is anywhere in sight of the top 25. All right. What do you guys want to go around one more time?
One more time because I think I have one.
Okay, good.
Thanks.
Falco.
He's been dead for like 10 years, Kevin.
That's not you. Can't follow him on Twitter.
No, I'm sorry. No, no Falco.
Okay.
Ralph Graham.
Let me see here. How about Madonna?
I'm sorry, no.
No?
No Madonna. Not a bad guess. Muggs, you're the final guess, please.
Eminem.
Get one. No, not Eminem.
Damn
okay.
It.
Wow.
You know, I'm just thinking, we're sticking to music. I should have expanded my.
Most of them are music. There are a few that aren't. I'll just give you the top 20 real quick, by the way.
Okay.
LeBron James is number 20.
That was my next guess.
No, it wasn't.
Drake, number 19.
Sure.
Then Oprah Winfrey, then Jennifer Lopez,
Demi Lovato, number 16. Shakira, number 15. Ariana Grande, number 14. This is the most surprising one on the whole list for me. Jimmy Mother Effin' Fallon is number 13 on the most Twitter followers.
Wow.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. Only in that he has a nightly hour TV show, sure.
So do a lot of people.
Stephen Colbert is not in there. I bet Jimmy Kimmel's not in the top 20.
Yeah. Almost 40 million Twitter followers for Jimmy Fallon. Number 12 will surprise you, Kevin. I think Cristiano Ronaldo.
Sure.
Number 12 most followed. Soccer player with over 41 million.
Diver.
Then you got Kim Kardashian, as Ralph mentioned, at number 10. Then Britney Spears at 9.
Wow.
Sure. See, Justin Timberlake at 8.
Yeah, Timberlake.
What about
Johnny Asshole?
he didn't make the list.
Not correct the tough.
Ellen DeGeneres came in at number 7.
That's shocking to me.
Would have never thought of that.
Never.
With almost 58 million.
Okay.
Number 6 was Lady Gaga. Number 5 was Rihanna, which I expected someone to say. Number 4, a young man from Africa named Barack Hussein Obama, number 4 on the list of the most followed Twitter followers. Yeah,
Hussein,
with over
Hussein Obama. But a lot of his followers are Muslims.
And then Taylor Swift, Justin Bieber, and Katy Perry. So there you go. There's your top 20 most followed celebrities on Twitter. This has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
You wish you heard the show that wasn't really on the air. That's all I'm
really
saying.
Glad that they don't.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock, the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman here with the show, Biz Beat, Alan McKay in studio. Chip, behind the wheels of steel.
Woo!
Are you still behind the wheels of steel?
Sure.
The boys are on vacation, but we're still doing the show because it's fun.
Is it?
When they're not here.
Okay, there you go.
To play, when the cat's away and stuff. So we're bringing you showbiz news. Also, tomorrow, we will be having a brand new live Bachelorette report. Petros Papadakis is going to stop by, and we're going to talk all things Bachelorette because it's back tonight.
I mean, you could skip it, but it's just not in you. You can't.
It's not in me, that's for sure.
What?
Of all the things that are in me,
sorry.
That's not one of them. But, yeah, because it was off, they took off last week because of the NBA Finals, and so now they're back tonight on ABC, and I'm very excited. Speaking of ABC, tonight on Jimmy Kimmel Live, a little band called Garbage will be stopping by and performing on that show, so I'll be tuning in for that as well. Speaking of the finals, you guys watched last night? Did you watch Game 7?
I did.
I did indeed.
Boy, that was an entertaining game. Right down to the wire.
It was. It was. What do you think of his, when he went up and he got hit, and then he was on the floor and he was like, no, my wrist. But then when he went and took the free throw shots, it was like, oh, your wrist is fine.
Yeah, well.
People were so upset by that. I'm like, I would have done it too.
And adrenaline, you know, makes you forget. Yeah. You get a pain in the moment, and then the next thing you know, you're feeling fine because the adrenaline's coursing through
your veins.
Plus,
there was, 10 seconds left of the game, so he's like, I don't want to sit out.
Right.
Go through it. Go for
Plus, the NBA is fixed.
Plus,
just
well,
ask,
that.
Steph Curry's wife, Aisha. She told us all that the NBA is fixed, so.
Plus, it was probably nice just to lay there for like a minute, right?
I never would have got up.
The floor was probably nice and cool, right?
Cool
right?
floor.
Yes.
Sweat of other masculine men underneath me.
Go on.
What? Oh, I'm sorry to say that out loud.
What happened on your vacation?
Let's get to the entertainment news, shall we? It is Monday morning, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Finding Dory is a monster hit. Huge success out of the gate this weekend. Made $137 million, roughly, making it the number one animated film opening in history. Crushed the competition. Central Intelligence was number 2 at the box office, $34.5 million. Then Conjuring 2, Now You See Me 2, Warcraft 1. At number 5, X-Men Apocalypse, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Me Before You, Alice Through the Looking Glass, and Captain America Civil War rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office. Oh, Hasbro, we need to have a conversation, you and I. We're going to sit down. We're going to sit down. I'm going to sit down with Hasbro, and we're going to have a conversation.
Yeah, you just said that.
Yes.
What's it going to be about?
They're bugging me, Hasbro.
What's going on?
There's no Hasbromance between me and Hasbro right now, because they unveiled on Friday the Chewbacca Mom action figure. The Chewbacca Mom action figure. Mm-hmm. It looks just like Chewbacca, except it has Candace Payne's face on it. And then there's a Chewbacca mask you can put on top of that. So then it really does just look like a Chewbacca action figure. Hasbro gave this to her as a thank you for just being a loon after she posted that video of her laughing like a lunatic while wearing the electronic Wookiee mask. So now she has a one-of-a-kind action figure made by Hasbro that also has 13 catchphrases, it says, when you press the button.
including, "I'm such a happy Chewbacca." And it's not me that making that noise.
It's the mask.
You know her catchphrase.
This is why you fail.
And, of course, her signature laugh, which will drive you to madness if you listen to it for longer than 10 seconds. So, there. Hasbro's done that. And then, also, as well, to Tom Bien.
Okay.
Hasbro announces Monopoly the Musical.
Oh.
You heard me. Hasbro has partnered with a Broadway producer for a Monopoly musical.
I don't think we need that.
No, you don't think
no.
so? How about Chewbacca Mom the Musical? Why not that too while we're at it?
But what?
Here's what the producers say. I can tell you this. It's not going to be a musical about people sitting around playing Monopoly. Well, good thing. Because that would be dumb. Almost as dumb as making a musical based on Monopoly. I'm Stevie Moneybags. Who's going to be that guy with the little mustache and the top hat? I'm the thimble. I'm the race car. Is that what it's going to be?
I see that.
I was just going to say, I'm kind of into this now.
I'm the iron.
Who's the thimble? The thimble sucks.
Best Monopoly piece.
Well, you say race car, but I say the dog.
No.
The dog rules.
He's like,
hello, I'm a dog.
Why would you say that? It's stupid. Jiminy Glick. No, it's obviously the race car or the top hat. Those are your only acceptable answers.
Huh.
So Monopoly the Musical, no time frame yet on when we will see that on Broadway, Monopoly the Musical. However, some have suggested not in our lifetime would be a good start.
Oh, that's a good time frame.
We'll have to wait and see. I also have to bring some sad news today. Maybe you heard yesterday. It was all over the social media. The passing of Anton Yelchin, very talented young man. Probably best known for playing Chekhov in the rebooted Star Trek films, but he was also terrific in Charlie Bartlett and Alpha Dog and Fright Night and Green Room. We just had him on the show talking about that film. At the age of 27, he was found yesterday morning around 1 a.m., pinned between his own car and a brick mailbox at his home. The car was still running. It was in neutral. And people are speculating that it was a freak accident. He got out of his car and then was crushed by his own car, rolling down a steep incline and pinning him against that brick mailbox. How could such a thing happen? Well, now we're finding out more information that the car that he was driving was, in fact, a late model Jeep Grand Cherokee. This past April, certain 2014-2015 Grand Cherokees were recalled by the manufacturer because of what was happening. Freak accidents happening where the car would be in the park position and then it would slip out and go into neutral. There were at least 14 complaints of this rollaway phenomenon with the transmission problem to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. And so they researched it and then there was a recall for those cars. And it looks like that was one of the cars that the car that he owned was in fact one of those cars. So just a perfect storm of tragedy happening for Anton Yelchin. So that was sad news. And also sad, if you're a fan of PM Dawn, band had a lot of hits in the 90s, like I Die Without You, Looking Through Patient Eyes. Probably their biggest hit was a chart topper from 1991 called Set Adrift on Memory Bliss. Prince B, the singer for that band, has passed away at the age of 46. He had kidney disease. He passed away on Friday. Here's a little taste of that song, Set Adrift on Memory Bliss.
Set adrift on memory bliss. A careless whisper from a careless man. A neutron dance for a neutron fan. Marionette strings are dangerous things. A thought of all the trouble they bring. An eye for an eye, a spy for a spy. Rubber bands expand in a frustrating sigh. Tell me that she's not dreaming. She's got an ace in the hole that doesn't have meaning.
So, sad news that he passed away. Love that song. Of course, it's the true Spandau Ballet True song sampled in there as well. Comic-Con fans, this is good news. By the way, I got some news this morning.
Yeah.
Things are looking good for Kevin and Bean Show broadcasting from Comic-Con.
Really?
Things are looking good. We can't announce anything officially. It's in the works.
So no telethon?
We need a bake sale or a telethon.
What about the jogathon?
We should still do that.
We still do the jogathon.
Yeah.
Yeah, beer mugs, jog and place-a-thon.
Yeah.
Jog and place-a-thon. We need something catchy.
I think that works. Comic-Con fans who can't get to the annual event in San Diego will at least be able to see some of it from the Sci-Fi Network. They are doing a nightly telecast on the network featuring Will Arnett as the host. That's going to be awesome. It's going to be at their outdoor stage at the event. It'll be scheduled for July 21st through the 23rd during the nights of Comic-Con. Deadline.com is saying that Will report breaking news from Comic-Con as well as providing sneak peeks of some of the most anticipated films and TV series that we'll be talking about at Comic-Con, along with guests and discussions with some of the participants. So if you can't get to Comic-Con this year, you can watch all the best on Sci-Fi this year. That's pretty
cool. I enjoy him. Did you watch Flicked on Netflix, his Netflix show?
I have not seen it.
Not getting onto it now. You might find this shocking. I did see it.
Because you see everything all the time.
How long? A day? That one was probably a day and a half. It was quick.
How many episodes?
Probably 10.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm just saying. They were quick. They were good. It's delightful.
It
takes place in Venice, so it was very familiar. It just felt good. Plus, I love him.
Venice, Italy?
No, Venice, California.
Allie has no friends.
It's probably true. I don't know what you're saying.
Television is her friendship.
Yeah. All my friends that are in prison, I just finished up with them on Orange is
the
New Black.
Oh, I thought you were finishing people up in prison. I thought you had a new hobby. You were
those visitor sessions.
Call her Conjugal Alley. She was stopping by. Orange is the New Black you're talking about.
Yeah.
So that was good.
I think it's the best season.
All right.
Just saying. Get to it, everyone. I know it just came out, but hurry up so we can
what
talk
about
it.
Wives? Can we get a lot around to it in a week or so?
What, if wives. You want to have kids and families
wives
and
are overrated,
lives.
Right?
Whatever.
Speaking of Will, of course, he was in the Lego movie. He's terrific as that is Lego Batman. He is reprising that role in the Lego Batman movie that'll be out next May 2017. There is a Lego movie sequel in the works, but Warner Brothers just announced they pushed that back to February of 2019.
Ooh.
So it's going to be a while before we get another Lego movie sequel. Sorry about that. However, Ninjago will be in some theaters this fall.
Careful.
Ninjago.
What is that?
Ninjago, Allie.
No.
Oh, you know nothing of the ways of Lego.
Like, Django?
No.
Jenga.
No, neither of those.
Oh.
Ninjago is a Lego character experience.
You have no idea.
Where Legos fight in the martial art of spinjitzu, right?
You're just saying words.
I'm just making stuff up. All these words are in one sentence here.
Do you smell toast?
That's what it says it's about. Spinjitzu.
Tastes like nickels.
Ninjago is a hit
are
thing.
Are you still saying words?
There's going to be a movie about it in the fall featuring Lego. We're going to have to get Paul on, our Lego expert, to talk about spinjitzu and Ninjago. Yeah.
I just said Legos.
Don't say
that.
Don't
email me.
Don't put the S at the end of it. You'll get a nasty email from people. All right. Let's take a look at celebrities' birthdays. Brian Wilson, 74 years old today. John Goodman turns 64. Nicole Kidman turns 49. Robert Rodriguez celebrates his 47th birthday. Chino Moreno, Deftones lead singer, is 43. Christopher Mintz-Plasse, we love him on this show. He's been on a bunch of times. He's a good dude. 27 years old today. And singer, songwriter, Lionel Richie.
That's one for Burtonsville from Lionel Richie, and he gets more Richie every time we play one of his songs.
Yeah. Oh, rest in peace, Bean.
Bean's the best. 67 years old today. That's it for us today. Make sure you come back tomorrow. We'll be doing the Showbiz Beat all morning long, of course. We're going to have Garbage playing live in the K-Rock studios for you. We're also going to have a Bachelorette update with Petros Papadakis. We'll talk about the new show. And don't forget to listen on your drive home today. Listen to K-Rock for our commercial-free 5 p.m. hour. It is a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. They are handing out helpful acts of random helpfulness, and that includes a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. on K-Rock. See you tomorrow!